WTopRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sonny DiMarella.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Can't you see them now, John? Can't you hear them singing? Can't you hear them singing with me? Brothers and sisters, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
A lot of people around here, well, they consider us a bad influence. And you know what? We're good with that.
Well, not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. An influence, as in we are the straws that stir the drink. We're in the position where the ladies want to see us and the fellas want to be us. They want what we have. They want to be where we are. And they're green with envy, just like my drink of choice. With your host,
sing with me, children.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. It's right at MBG1211 as he interrupts my plug. I am, of course, the host, Lindsay Ward. And joining me, as always, is my producer slash co-host slash running buddy, Sir Rockin.
Woo!
And yes, we are opening with Miss Charlotte's theme from NXT. She is your women's champion down there because we are going to be talking all about NXT, in particular TakeOver, which is next week on 9/11. So we will be doing pick 'em for that later in the show.
Woo!
But we, of course, also have news. We have discussions because we're talking about Raw because, well, somebody's internet's crapped out and it was also Labor Day on Monday. So, yeah, we will be talking all about Monday Night Raw again this week, and the Raw Post Show will be back next week as scheduled.
The season premiere of the Raw Post Show right after the season premiere of Raw.
We don't do a season. Oh, God, that's so stupid. Anyway, but before we get to all of that, we have our question of the night. Which is as follows. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
That was right on cue. We were good.
We were totally good. Because, you know what? You know what starts tonight? Football!
Football's back. We are right currently. It's the Packers and the Seahawks. I believe the Seahawks are winning. Last time I looked.
Yes, they're up 17-10 in the half. He'll be coming back for the third quarter here shortly, so we'll have to see if Aaron Rodgers can motivate the Packers for a win. Somehow I doubt it, because it's very loud in Seattle right now. And, you know, NBC did such a hard-hitting story of what it sounds like inside Aaron Rodgers' helmet.
Back to you, Al.
Pretty much. It was quality journalism.
Good go, Michelle DeFoya. Earn that paycheck.
Hey, you know what? They got a chick covering football. I am totally okay with this.
So this is where I go, woo!
Woo! Yes, so, question of the night is, who's going to win the Super Bowl? Because, yes, on this show, we not only talk wrestling when it's in season, we also discuss football.
Because it's on Thursday nights, and, well, you know, it's on TV, so we can watch it and do the show with you all.
Dude, I want to go tailgating with the Falcons coach. That would be awesome.
Wait, he's letting you do that now?
I don't know, but they have a Ford commercial that's showing the coach tailgating.
Ah.
And he's fist bumping some dude with a huge ass barbecue.
See, I don't have that.
You just stole a hot dog. Dude, that's not even cool. Get a bun first.
Always gotta wrap your dog in a bun. Anyway.
Anyway. I say we jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at pwmania.com. Go there for all your news and notes needs. And there thankfully was not a huge story this week, but we do have a couple, more than a couple. Sorry, there's kind of a lot of news. Stories that we need to jump into, including that not only will Michael Sam potentially be appearing on Monday Night Raw this coming Monday, the season premiere...
They're building it up as the season premiere, but yeah,
they don't take a break. How is it a season premiere if you're on 52 weeks a year? Somebody explain this to me.
It's the new fall season.
They don't have a season. They're on every season.
The start of the fall is the start of a new season. It's not the first time. It's not the last time. They've always sort of called the season premiere.
If you're on 52 weeks a year, it's not a season premiere.
Well,
After
last week's episode, which many people was hoping was a rerun of Nitro, this is a season premiere this Monday night.
Well, you know what? Then it better be really good, and that includes Bray Wyatt kicking Chris Jericho's ass in that steel cage. Just saying.
Which we'll get into later.
Which we will get into later. But anyway, Michael Sam, he has been invited to appear at Monday Night Raw this coming Monday. There is no indication on whether he's actually accepted or not.
Well, he's not going to be at Raw.
Because he has a game.
Well, technically, he signed with the Dallas Cowboys. Onto their practice squad. He won't be playing in the game, but he's on their practice squad.
Which means he has to attend. So he will not be on Monday Night Raw, but he was invited to attend, provided he did not sign a contract, which he did.
But they have invited him to appear at any role in the future that he wishes to attend.
Very classy.
Yes.
And speaking of classy, we're about to get unclassy because, well, WWE invited somebody else. In case you haven't noticed, things with the Bellas are getting a little bit out of hand. And, well, when we're getting breakdown, knockdown draws in the middle of... you know, nice quality sit-down talks, there's only one man that can solve these problems, and his name is Jerry Springer.
Jerry, Jerry, Jerry.
I fully expect a Jerry chant. If we don't get one, I'm going to be so disappointed. It only makes me wish that they were doing this Raw in Chicago.
No, then it would be, what's his name? What's his name? Over
no, 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 no. They would chant Jerry in Chicago. They would. They totally would. My only question is, they invited Jerry Springer. Did they invite Steve?
Well, I don't know if they invited Steve the bodyguard or the fish head. But legendary talk show host Jerry Springer will make an appearance on the season premiere of WWE Monday Night Raw at 8 p.m. Eastern on September 8th on the USA Network. I will conduct an intervention with the Bella Twins in an effort to achieve sibling harmony, said Springer. The Bella Twins have been embroiled in a sibling war since Nikki turned on her sister Brie at SummerSlam 2 weeks ago in Los Angeles. Springer will bring more than 20 years of experience in moderating family feuds to bear when he steps in the ring Monday night in Baltimore. So they're in Baltimore, they'll chant for him.
Oh yeah, they'll totally chant for him, but yeah. They're bringing in Jerry Springer. I guess Maury Povich was busy. I don't know. But yeah, this just went to a whole new level with the Bella Twins feud. We're getting Jerry Springer involved.
Well, you would only need Maury if, like, Nikki had the baby for Brie.
And she could.
She could, and then you find out who the real father is. Is it Daniel Bryan? Is it John Cena? Dum, dum, dum.
Dum, dum, dum. Tune into the season finale of Monday Night Raw for that one.
Which airs the week before the season premiere. The ridiculousness.
Oh, we're going to have so much fun with this.
The ridiculousness of the season premiere of Monday Night Raw.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to make fun of it. But again, you're on every week of the year. You don't have a season, y'all. Just saying.
As it goes, Monday Night Raw is the longest-running weekly episodic program in U.S. primetime TV history and is the most watched regular scheduled program on cable, airing live every Monday night on the USA Network.
Yes. So moving on from there, speaking of Monday Night Raw, speaking of appearances, there's somebody else that's going to be making many more appearances on Monday Night Raw, and that is, in fact, your WWE World Heavyweight Champion himself, Brock Lesnar. I just can't do it.
Brock Lesnar.
He has way too much fangs. Fun saying it. But yes, it was recently revealed that Lesnar has renegotiated his deal, opening it up to WWE to have him appear anytime they wished at Raw, SmackDown, or pay-per-views. This does not include house shows. Just pointing that out. So don't expect Brock to work a house show anytime soon. But if they need him for any reason because he is their champion, he will make the appearance. So this opens it up to have Brock there a lot more often than what he has been in the past, which is good news for WWE.
It's great news because when you think about it, your WWE champion should be available more often than not. Should he be on TV every week? Hell no, because that would be stupid and dumb, because the idea of giving Brock the belt is to make it more meaningful when the champion shows up. And when he shows up, it'll be a big deal. We'll be there more often? Yeah. He'll be there probably the week before a pay-per-view, the night after a pay-per-view, and then the rest of the time, he'll cut some promos via pre-tape and Paul Heyman. That's what you want to do. Paul Heyman's the advocate, the promoter for Brock Lesnar, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. So, what will he do? He'll promote his champion. And will he keep the belt at Night of Champions? He better, because, well, we don't need John Cena as the champ anymore. But we'll get to that later.
We will totally get to that later. And, you know, truth be told, with Brock Lesnar, he is literally the type of champion that you don't need to have him appear for free. He doesn't fight for free. That's the whole point of him. He only fights on pay-per-view. He only fights when people pay to see him fight. So you don't need him there at Monday Night Raw every week, as Rock made that point. So the fact that he's more open to be able to appear whenever they need him is a great thing for them, and I'm sure they're overjoyed to have it, but you don't need Brock there every week. That's what makes Brock special, is he can literally show up whenever the hell he wants, and he has instant credibility because he's just Brock Lesnar. He is a legit badass, and now he's your WWE champion. So I like the fact that he is now more available, but I also like the fact that we're going to be seeing Paul Heyman as his advocate more, pimping him out, as it were, in both the pre-tapes and live on television. That's really the best use of Paul Heyman that you can have, because it gives him the opportunity to speak. It lets him put Brock over in a way that Brock can't put himself over, and then you have Brock get in the ring and do his thing and just destroy people.
Which is what he's best at doing. And originally, his original contract, where his appearances would have to be planned out weeks and months in advance because of his schedule. Have his idea what he's doing, when he's fighting, so he can train and prepare and blah blah blah. Dallas, he's more open and flexible because he was given the belt, and whenever you're given the belt, more responsibility comes to you, and he's realized that. And it's like everyone talks about how Brock Lesnar is a part-time wrestler. He's not a part-time wrestler. He's a special attraction. There's a difference.
Yeah, if Brock is there every week, he loses that specialness. He loses that mystique. It's something of whenever Brock shows up, like I said before, it's a big deal. Even if he's just walking out to look at somebody, it's a big deal when Brock Lesnar shows up. Because he's just literally that big of a name.
Right. And I would actually classify The Rock as a special attraction wrestler, and same with Brock, they're special attractions. Because the internet is so hung up on part-time wrestlers like The Rock and Brock Lesnar and etc. No, a part-time wrestler is Chris Jericho. A part-time wrestler is Rob Van Dam, where they wrestle for a while, then they take breaks. They wrestle, take breaks. You got special attractions. It's a different way to think of it, and when you call it an attraction, it's like you have to pay to see this guy. You have to pay to see Brock Lesnar fight, and it only cost you $9.99 to see him fight on the WWE Network.
And pick up the new $9.99 shirt at WWEshop.com.
And if you do so, go to RockRadioShow.com, click on the banner at the top, and that will help us, help yourself by helping us get the shirt by clicking on that banner.
Yes. So anyway, moving on from that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Brock Lesnar and, well, WWE Battleground, it did 113,000 buys on pay-per-view.
That's kind of awesome. That's between international. Oh! Intercept it. Seattle intercepts the ball, and they're running back to the about the 8-yard line. See, live, play-by-play here on the rack.
How are you ahead of me?
Flag is down, though. Flag is down.
How are you ahead of me?
How far ahead of, am I of you?
Like 2-3 seconds, but you're ahead of me. How the hell are you ahead of me?
Hey, I didn't know how you were ahead of me when you were in Utah.
I don't know. This is freaky. Anyway.
I, who knows? So anyway, where were we? Oh yeah, the buy rates. That's kind of awesome. It's down a little bit, about 20,000 buys from last year's Battleground, which aired in a different month, but that's besides the point. I think that was in October. But still, 113,000 buys on traditional pay-per-view overseas and in the U.S. when you still have the WWE Network. So still, you can see there's people who have not jumped over to the 999 bandwagon and got in the new network and still like the idea of being able to buy the pay-per-view on traditional, in traditional fashion, which is cool. And that's more money for WWE. It's, they've sort of ran out the pay-per-view business, so if the pay-per-view business continues like this, it's an extra avenue, extra added revenue for them.
Right. And that's what they want right now, especially seeing as they are taking losses in the first year of the network because of the startup cost that was anticipated. But they any extra money that they can find helps.
Yes.
Because that's one more person that they maybe don't have to fire. That's one more thing that they maybe don't have to cut. So if they can find money in places, that's a good thing for them. But they shouldn't, you know, they're not relying on that money. They're not expecting it to be there. If it happens to show up, great. In this case, this is great for them that, you know, they had 113,000 buys on pay-per-view. That's wonderful. Because that's found income for them. But, you know, they're not going to expect that for every show. But that shows that there was an interest in Battleground, specifically regarding pay-per-view buys and the fact that they still did 113,000 with people having the network.
Right, and that was one of the pay-per-views many people thought there wasn't much interest in to begin with. And to be fair, there really wasn't a full lot of interest in that one, all things considered, because it was basically the setup for SummerSlam.
It was, but on paper, Battleground had the potential to be a really good pay-per-view. The execution was lacking, but the potential was there, and I think that's what attracted people, is there were some really good matches on that show, especially Seth and Dean, that did not happen, called that. And
she's never going to let me forget that she was right about that.
No, never, ever, ever, ever going to let you forget that. And that probably generated some interest, because you had some first-time matches, you know, and again, Jericho and Wyatt, and a few others that would have drawn people in. So, again, Battleground had the potential to be a good show, just the execution of it was lacking. But good for WWE for the fact that they generated 113,000 buys, you know, on that pay-per-view. Yeah. Go them.
Go them, man. Support them on pay-per-view and support them by buying the WWE Network for only $9.99.
Ding! Anyway, moving on, just to kind of give some quick updates before we jump into some heavier stuff. NXT Diva Veronica Lane has departed WWE, if I could talk. She...
No, you got it wrong. It's WWE, according to Triple H.
Right. Anyway, she has departed the company at her own request, as she was preparing, as she just simply wants to move on.
Yeah, she was signed back in spring of 2013 and has done mainly backstage interviews and some ring announcing for NXT. It was time for her to move on. And there you go.
So, fare thee well. Best of luck in your future endeavors. Solomon Crowe, who is Indy star Sami Callihan. Some people know him, some people don't. He has not debuted yet on NXT, but I believe he was preparing to debut here soon. Has chipped his tibia. He did it at a house show. Ow.
Yeah.
And so he will be out of action for a little bit. pit.
Yeah, the injury came during a match when Crow and Kalisto took on the Ascension. Crow went for a flying head scissors on Victor, landed hard on the mat, and didn't move. He was helped to the back by trainers and was clutching his leg. He later noted he was taken to a local hospital and posted the following: "Hospitals are scaring. I keep hearing chainsaw noises down the hall. Hashtag call, call." He then later tweeted, "Chipped my tibia bone in my leg. Such a great birthday present. LOL. Caw caw."
Is he really doing caw caw like a crow?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
He's Solomon Crow. Caw caw.
He's Solomon Crow. Caw caw. Okay. Moving on. Speaking of hospital visits, Mick Foley will undergo minor surgery for his back. Nothing too scary for him, but he was forced to cancel some shows due to the pain. So Foley, I believe, underwent the night today.
Yeah, there's been no update as I've seen so far. But yeah,
that is the ugliest Super Bowl ring. Oh God. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
Now, get
some blue diamonds, Jesus.
What Super Bowl ring are you seeing? I'm seeing Super Bowl I at the moment.
I'm seeing Super Bowl I, but they were showing last year's for Seattle, where it was like all white except for one green stone to denote the eye of the Seahawk. Awesome. So you can't even get some blue stones, seriously?
Apparently not. They're hard to come by.
Nuts.
Yeah, anyway, back to Mick Foley. He's been laid off in bed for the past couple of weeks with a back injury. Don't know how he suffered. I would assume it's from years of injuries.
Gee! Mick Foley has a back injury. I have no idea how that would have happened. You know, he only took multiple spills off a 20-foot cage, multiple unprotected chair shots. No idea how that happened. None. Just, yeah. Pointing that out. So, best of luck to Mick Foley. I hope he starts to feel better as he, you know, improves from surgery. And hopefully this helps. Please, Lord, let this help Mick Foley, because I'd hate to think that he's in pain any further than what he has been in the past. And speaking of updates and hospital stays, this is the final, I believe, medical update that we have. As we reported to you last week when we came to air, there was breaking news concerning Jake the Snake Roberts in the fact that he was hospitalized for respiratory issues while he was on an airplane to Las Vegas. We're very happy to report that Jake is doing much better. He has been taken off of, I believe, the ventilators, which he was on. He had double pneumonia in his lungs. I think he's actually been moved from hospitals, but he is doing much better. He is recovering. It's very good news to hear. He's awake. He's cognitive. He's understanding what's going on around him. His girlfriend arrived with him that night or the next day. DDP, I believe, has been with him. He's had his friend and lawyer updating everybody concerning his condition. Just to kind of give a quick update, apparently Jake did not pass out on the plane as was previously reported. He was awake. He was aware of what was going on. He was having problems breathing. He was rushed from the airport to the hospital where he, I believe, was sedated, as my producer is continuing to let me hanging, so I'm just going to keep rambling, but he was placed on ventilators just to help assist the breathing, and that's when it was discovered he did have a double pneumonia in his lungs, which is rough. So, very happy to report Jake is doing much, much better. He's feeling better. And he should be back on his feet hopefully soon. So yay, Jake is doing better. Yay! Always a good thing to hear. Always a happy thing to hear. Don't let up. Keep your love and prayers going to him, because I'm sure he needs all of them to continue to get well.
Yes, he does.
As you completely left me hanging during that.
I was sneezing. What do you want from me?
This is what happens when I drink a little bit. I just ramble. And then he leaves me, and I just keep talking because I don't want dead air. So I just keep talking.
Did you mention the donut portion of the story about Jake Roberts?
There were donuts?
Sid and Bodie, a.k.a. Kizarni, posted the following on Facebook. Great news, Docs took Jake off ventilator way earlier than expected. He's kicking ass on this spirometer breathing test. If he keeps this up, he will not need to go back on a ventilator. So everyone please cross your fingers. Jake Frank can speak for the first time since last Wednesday. Late last night, while still ventilating and unable to speak, one of the male nurses took a bandage off of Jake's neck. When they have the tubes for his meds. It was so unpleasant to Jake, he wrote on the pad that they gave him three letters, DDT. Even though Jake is off his ventilator for the time being, he'll be monitored for 24 to 48 hours before his docs decide if it's safe for him to keep him off. Once he was able to speak, he wanted steak, milkshakes, eggs, and donuts. He's only allowed to get his nutrients intravenously.
Through a tube.
For the time being. Jake even joked that he would do anything for a donut if he had to. The nurses still said no donuts, to which Jake replied with one of his favorite gestures. I think he was trying to say, you're number one, but I could be wrong.
Oh, he was saying hello in Japanese.
Yes.
Luke Harper style.
Yeah, flipping off the nurses, because that's what he does.
Jake Roberts is my spirit animal. Go figure on that one.
But yeah, you can see his spirits are high, so that's awesome. It's awesome to hear he's getting better, all things considered.
Yes. So, go Jake, go! Get better.
Yes.
I still want to get my toes done with you and DDP, so, you know, that needs to happen.
She's back in Georgia now.
I am totally back in Georgia now. We can make this happen. And I need a pedicure in the worst way. It's probably way too much information. Moving on from Jake, The Rock made a big announcement this week in the fact that he will be playing Black Adam in the DC Comics movie Shazam.
Sources tell Variety that Darren Lemke is set to write the script with Johnson and Taft to star. He will play Black Adam, who in recent issues of the DC comic book is more of an anti-hero trying to clear his name than a villain. We loved Wade and have nothing but success with him over the years, said Toby Emmerich, President and COO of New Line. When I look at Dwayne both on and off screen, he is such a larger-than-life character and just made perfect sense to me that we put him in a DC comic movie. You look at these comic book characters and they have the certain swag and charisma that Dwayne carries with him wherever he is. So that's why this always made sense.
So congratulations to him. Looking forward to seeing the reboot of Shazam. Please let it be better than the Shaquille O'Neal version. And hopefully Rock will do it justice. It's always a little daunting when you take on a superhero movie, I imagine, just from getting a legendary character and trying to bring that to life. Because you want to do it right for the fans, but at the same time you want to add your own interpretation. So you can tell The Rock's really excited about it. He kept it under wraps for a while, but
he kept hinting at that he would be a part of something.
Yeah, nobody was sure whether it was going to be a DC or a Marvel movie, but that he was in fact in a superhero movie. So he's pretty pumped about this. I will say that
he is, and he's already has a bunch of projects lined up. He's filming San Andreas currently for New Line, and has completed production on Ballers, which is an HBO series. And he already has the Fast and the Furious and G.I. Joe films, with Fast and Furious 7 coming out in next April and G.I. Joe 3 in 2016.
So, good for him.
Good news for him. It's great news.
Very good. So moving on from that, WWE, one last note for them. WWE has launched its brand new anti-bullying campaign.
Yeah, yes, they have. DoSomething.org is the largest organization for young people and social change, and Be a Star Anti-Bullying Initiative, co-founded in 2011 by the Creative Coalition and Global Entertainment Group WWE, are teaming up for the Bully Text Superstar Edition, a campaign that uses an SMS text message game to get young people to take action around bullying. Beginning today, young people will be able to participate in the SMS text message experience that virtually walks through them through a day in the life of a student, giving them a chance to take action around bullying. I always want to say against, but it's around. For example, young people receive a text in the experience with the following scenario. Seth teases Amy. your lab partner about her stutter and everyone laughs. Do you A, wait and comfort her after class, or B, tell them to quit it? Each scenario is designed to make young people think about what they would do in the face of bullying alongside some of their favorite WWE superstars. I like that they use the letter U and you are for your lab partner, not we're giving these to people in school, you're not using real language.
They're using text language. They're using language that kids would be familiar with.
I understand that it's just like we're using text language in school. It's just, you know. Both do something.org and be a star are committed to make giving young people the tools they need to combat bullying. Through do something.org experiences using innovative SMS games to tackle important issues in WWE global reach and passionate fan base. Sheamus is a part of this, and there's a PSA on WWE.com as well.
All right, so WWE continuing their efforts to fight bullying.
Yes, yes, they are.
Good for them.
Great news for them.
So, go WWE, go. That's, like, literally the only response I have to anything at this moment.
Well, it's good positive news for them, that's all.
Oh, it's very positive news, and this is something that they've been doing for years now with the Be a Star campaign and the fact that they hold anti-bullying rallies, and it's very nice to see that they're stepping up their efforts in trying to, you know, further that cause. It's obviously something very near and dear to their hearts, you can tell. So, anything that they do, especially given the amount of reach that they have, is a good thing with this. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, kids look to role models, especially if they're into sports or into, you know, sports entertainment like wrestling. So to see your favorite wrestlers talking about how bullying is bad, that can have a profound impact on a kid. You know, same thing, you know, for football players, basketball players, baseball players, you know, your favorite celebrities, whoever. You know, to see somebody that you look up to and you respect saying, hey, this isn't cool, don't do it. That can have a profound impact on a kid.
Oh, yes, it can. And it goes segueing off of this a little bit, and it's with Stephanie. She's doing a lot with the what was that? Connor's Cure or something like that?
Yes.
She's all into that. She's changed her picture on Twitter to gold to promote awareness for the disease because it's... can't remember the disease off the top of my head, but it's that month where we're trying to focus in on that disease. So it's kind of cool. She has a whole bunch of stuff. She wrote an open letter to Huffington Post about it. She's all in on it. And WWE, for all the negative sometimes, they're PR guys and their PR stuff. Yeah, it's awesome. Some of the things they do with Make-A-Wish, Connor's Cure, the Be a Star campaign, it's kind of top-notch. They're first class in many, many ways.
Oh, absolutely, and you can tell that's really a difference, and that's something that has been driven by Stephanie, and that's the difference really between Stephanie and Hunter and Vince and Linda, and the fact that Stephanie and Hunter are much more attuned to participating in the community and giving back to the community and helping to focus on those areas, because one, it makes the company look good, but two, it's about good karma. It's about giving back. It's about using your reach and your power that you have for good. And the fact that, you know, they can get back to Make-A-Wish, and the fact that they have their superstars donate their time and help granting kids their wish. I know John Cena a couple years ago did a campaign to help get miles, airline miles, for Make-A-Wish, and he said he would match the final donation with his own donation. You know, you have them doing that, and that's wonderful for the company, but it's also wonderful for the organizations because it's bringing awareness to these organizations and for people like Connor's Cure, which if you're not familiar with Connor, oh my lord, just Google him.
He was like one of the cutest kids you would ever see, and I remember back, I think it was in 2012, I believe, when Team Hell No was around.
Yes.
Maybe early 2013 when they were tag team champions, and him putting Daniel Bryan in the Yes Lock. It was tremendous.
he went through the Make-A-Wish, or no, he didn't go through Make-A-Wish, but basically how it all got started was people started a viral campaign to grant him, to get Daniel Bryan to grant him a wish of meeting with him, I believe, actually in, I think it was Baltimore.
Pittsburgh. Oh, Baltimore. Yeah,
get it. But anyway, so people started this viral campaign to get Daniel Bryan to meet with Connor because that was his wish because he had a terminal disease. And I don't think he was associated with Make-A-Wish. But Daniel Bryan granted the wish along with Kane. And it's the most adorable video you've ever seen in your life because he was Connor the Crusher.
Yeah.
That was his name, was Connor the Crusher. And WWE, particularly the talent roster, kind of adopted this kid.
Yeah.
Like, they all latched on to him, and it's so cute because he did multiple things with WWE where they had him. I know he got to punch Triple H, and he got to beat Triple H in a match. He was at WrestleMania 30 this year.
Yeah, he got in the ring with Hunter at WrestleMania.
And, you know, they just did a lot of things to help improve his life, especially at the end, because he actually passed away not too long, I believe, after WrestleMania.
Yeah. What's even cool, he's in the open of every show.
He is. I mean, that's the impact that he had on everybody within the company, and, you know, it's things like that that really warm your heart, and it's like for every, like Rock said, for everything WWE does that bad, you know, does that's bad. Again, I can't talk. They do the good. And they balance the bad with the good. And it's something of, that's their way, I think, of separating fiction from reality.
Yeah.
You know, it's, oh, hey, you know, on TV, this is who we are. But that's not what we really are. That's not the image we want to project. This is the image that we want to project. And that's how they balance that, is by doing all the charity work, by helping out in local communities. Because wherever they go, especially for larger shows like for WrestleMania, they do a community project where they help to enrich the community and better it. Like, I believe they built a playground in New Orleans for a community. You know, they try to enrich wherever they go.
Yeah, for a little bit of information, go to givetochildrens.org/Connor's Cure. It's for the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh Foundation for Connor's Cure.
Yes.
That's how you can help donate to this fine cause.
Yes, but it's kind of getting back to the point. It's for causes like that that maybe are not as well known, that it helps bring attention to them, and it helps make people aware, which is what you want. It's just like, you know, when the Ice Bucket Challenge was going on, you had all the WWE talents, except for Bray Wyatt, who didn't do it. Bastard.
Wait, I was going to say it. You weren't going to say it. I was waiting.
Oh, I wanted him to do it so bad. Raising awareness and donating money, but WWE latched onto it. You know, they put it on their programming. They reached out to the community and said, hey, this is a good thing. You should donate to this cause. And they helped to raise awareness for this cause. And again, that's something that's being driven specifically by Stephanie and Triple H, especially Stephanie, as she's the vice president of brand.
Chief brand officer.
Chief brand officer, excuse me. I get her title. She's had so many titles.
Yeah, she used to be the executive vice president of something. Now she's the chief brand officer.
She used to be the executive vice president of creative.
Now she's the chief brand officer.
She's the chief brand officer. She's basically in charge of WWE's image. So a lot of what you see in terms of the charity work, in terms of everything that they're doing, is driven by Stephanie. We should also bring up the fact that Titus O'Neil is working with an organization in Florida to help donate wheelchairs to underprivileged kids who can't get one. And he's helping them donate their 100th wheelchair to a child that needs one, where his manual one is broken, and they're giving him an electric one where he can play sports.
That's awesome.
And that's being done through Titus himself and WWE. So it's like they're trying to balance what they do on TV, which honestly is not that bad, with the charity stuff, because you don't necessarily hear about what's going on WWE TV in the news, you hear about their charity work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what you're hearing about. And it just helps. It helps them because it helps their public image, but it also helps the organizations, obviously, that they're working with. And it helps to enrich a community and enrich lives. Basically, they're trying to give back, which I have to applaud them for.
Without a doubt, it's awesome that they give back. It's... Yeah, it's there's no other way to say it than it's awesome that they give back, and because they're a rich company and they know where they came from, they know their beginnings, and they know all their struggles, and they know that they have to give back to their fan base, and they do. And everyone goes through something in their life, and sometimes you need to spread some more awareness about it. That's what WWE does, and it's a great change for everything else they do creatively. It's like, this is why they're number one all over the world. It's why a lot of people want to be associated with WWE. Not always with the product, but a lot of celebrities get attached to WWE because of all the good charitable work that they do.
Absolutely. And speaking of charity work, let's transition a little bit out of WWE, because they're not the only ones giving back. They're not the only ones helping someone out. Team 3D Academy is jumping on the brand wagon, and they are helping in the fight to end breast cancer.
Team 3D Academy of Professional Wrestling and Sports Entertainment, led by former WWE superstar D'Von Hughes, a.k.a. Brother D'Von, is proud to announce that they will be teaming up with Hope for a Single Mom, a charity for the third consecutive year. This event will be held on September 13, 2014, at the Melbourne Auditorium in Melbourne, Florida. The event's festivities will kick off at 5 p.m., and then at 7 p.m., the bell will sound for fast-paced, family-friendly professional wrestling action. Alongside D'Von Hughes for the event will be TNA star Shafari Samojo, former TNA star Matt Morgan, Garrett Bischoff, SoCal Val, Ring of Honor superstar Jay Lethal. Also, the card will showcase the abilities of several of Team 3D's Academy students. September 14, 2013, D'Von Hughes teamed with Hope for a Single Mom in order to put on a family-friendly wrestling show at the Melbourne Auditorium. All proceeds for the show went towards Hope for a Single Mom charity. The show, which featured many of the students, along with WWE legend Hall of Famer Hulk Hogan, was able to raise over $30,000. This year's event has grown in size and hopes to be even more successful than previous years. Hope for a Single Mom charity started 4 years ago. Every year, the two founders and the people of the Breast Friends of Florida choose a single mother to raise money for in order to help with medical and other expenses that have been incurred to lost income while battling cancer.
So very good news for them. Congratulations on that.
Yes, it's awesome. Go support them. Visit the website Team 3D Academy. I believe it's team3academy.com for more information.
Yes. And on more TNA news, Bound for Glory tickets are now on sale for Bound for Glory in Japan.
This weekend.
So, if you can get there, great.
Yeah, if you can get there, great. Tickets will go on sale this weekend. One of TNA's most anticipated events of the year is just around the corner. Bound for Glory will take place on October 12th at the Corrigan Hall in Tokyo, Japan. Tickets go on sale this weekend at Corrigan Hall box office during the scheduled show for Wrestle 1. Announced for the upcoming TNA Bound for Glory event will include MVP Samoa Joe, James Storm, The Great Sonata, EC3, Abyss, Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards, Bram, Manic, and more to be announced soon. Plus, Team 3D will be inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame for the first time ever. TNA broadcast from the land of the rising sun. Get your tickets this weekend and don't miss Bound for Glory on pay-per-view on October 12th.
So, if you're going, if you can get there, get your tickets.
Yes.
And, well, if you can't get there, you can always see them in the States. Visit ImpactWrestling.com for their tour dates. But you might be able to participate in TNA in a new way that you never thought possible, because from what I'm hearing, there might be a new TNA game on the way?
Some sort of game is on the way. They've signed some, they're part of some sort of online wage and social game developer, MX Digital. Some sort of game is being made or branded around them by MX Digital. Eric Bischoff's involved. It will also feature with missing in action star Chuck Norris, iconic Hollywood legend James Dean, the comic and film franchise Blood Rain, top rated TV sports property at TNA Impact Wrestling, the controversial NBA Hall of Famer Dennis Rodman's Red Slam, and a recently announced feature film television music brand icons, the Blues Brothers.
Mm.
Go to mx-digital.com for more information.
We'll have to see what they come up with.
Yes.
But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, as because you can hear Bailey's music in the background... Yay, it's Bailey. We're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT, including who is going on to face the Ascension at NXT TakeOver. That's right, the number one contenders were crowned tonight in the Tag Team Title Tournament, so we will tell you all about that. Plus, we're going to preview NXT TakeOver, which is next Thursday on 9/11. So we're going to break down all the matches. We're going to see if we can guess the winners, and you can participate too, and we'll tell you about that after the break. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
I feel bad for you, Nicole.
Why?
Because your brain works very slow.
I don't want to get married and I don't want to have kids.
I really don't think I could imagine life without kids.
I think we should freeze your eggs.
For Total Divas.
I quit!
The ring is where they battle. But their lives are all-out war.
I'm going to do what I got to do and be successful with or without you.
You won't be a diva anymore.
Down the street, I'm the girl next door. I'm the fox that's...
You being naked makes me feel uncomfortable.
I work really, really hard. I deserve whatever it is I want.
The entire wedding was what you want.
Pull us over like a freaking crazy woman?
Total Divas. The new season begins Sunday, September 7th. Only on E!
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a big bang or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style. Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here. That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have. Gundam style. Gundam style. Gundam style. Gundam style. Oh, not the pelvic thrust. Wait, Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't hurt you.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. Wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's been...
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It is time once again for NXT to take over.
Next Thursday, in an epic 5 2-hour special event featuring 3 championship matches, including for the first time ever, a fatal four-way for the NXT Championship.
History will be made once again.
Plus, the debut of international superstar Kenta. NXT TakeOver, live next Thursday, exclusively on WWE Network.
Greetings and salutations, listeners. This is Christopher Daniels, and among many things, I am a pillar of society, an inspiration to children everywhere, and the man with the rear that makes the girls cheer. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio. And now, you are too.
When you look at me, they are so gorgeous, they'll set you free. Could it be my walk, or just my stare, that makes you freeze when I appear? Super good looking, every hair
and welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, where we are being brought back by the one, the only, Prince Pretty himself, Tyler Breeze. Which means one thing, Rock.
He's entered the building?
He's totally entered the building. The brain is tuned in tonight.
Yeah. Oh, it usually is on most nights.
It usually is on most nights. But now we're going to be able to talk to you about tonight's exciting NXT, which, you know, is going to lead in, of course, to TakeOver, which is next week.
Live, 2-hour special on the WWE Network. And we had most of the participants that will be appearing at NXT TakeOver on this show tonight, including all 4 men in the fatal 4-way for the NXT Championship, as all 4 men were in action. But to start, we had some women in action. Charlotte,
we did.
It was Charlotte and Alexa Bliss to open things up in a non-title match. Charlotte worked over worked over on the mat with a headlock, and Alexa got out of it after about a minute or so with a head scissors, and then had some sort of headlock in the corner, and then some sort of flip thingy, and then an arm drag and a head scissors. And then at that point, Renee called her a sexy smurf. Charlotte then, with a nice tilt-a-whirl gut buster, I have Lindsay's speaking ability right now. Then,
yes.
And it's the brain. Then worked on her with big shots to the back. Alexa fired back with 4 hours of drop kicks, which only led to actually one count. But Charlotte was aggressive throughout this matchup. She had a nice big kick, went for a powerbomb, but it got reversed into a sunset flip for a two count. And then Charlotte was basically, I'm done. I'm not going to mess around with you anymore. Bow down to the queen. 1, 2, 3. Your winner is Charlotte. Good match. Alexa Bliss is learning. You can tell a little bit. Still needs some work. The thing in the corner was a little bit off, but she has some athletic ability because the flip was really, really, really sweet.
Yeah, it was. And Renee made an interesting comment in the sense that Alexa is a former gymnast, so that definitely plays into her favor.
It does, and you can tell that she has natural ability. Hey, they complete a first down. Don't throw it for a touchdown to Rodgers. I can't have that happen. Anyway.
Hey there, you're Rodgers.
Anyway. Yeah, you really are like 3 seconds behind. Bailey,
I am.
Bailey, the number one contender, came out after this matchup. We had a Bailey's gonna hug you chant from the crowd. Bailey says, you refused to shake my hand last week. But she earned this opportunity, and as I beat your former BFF Sasha twice, and it's time for you to take me seriously at NXT TakeOver, because I'm seriously taking your title. Bailey offered her hand, and Charlotte shoved her right in the face. Bailey was not happy with that. She hit belly to Bailey, the hugplex, and then holds up the title. Good stuff between the women. They're building this matchup very nicely.
They are. They're doing a really nice job with it. They're building the good tension between Charlotte and Bailey. You know, is Bailey going to be able to prevail? I guess we'll have to see.
We're going to have to find out, and we'll talk about that here in a bit. Then we got the first of like four promos tonight from the challengers and champion. The first one was, in fact, Tyler Breeze. The question was asked, why should anyone believe that Tyler Breeze should be the next NXT champion? Well, you look at Zayn and how he did, and he didn't do well. Neville and Kidd aren't like me. They're not Prince Pretty, basically. And he's going to win because he's better looking than anyone else, and, well, because he gets the job done when he steps in the ring. It's pretty much the case Tyler Breeze made. It was a very strong promo from Tyler Breeze.
It really was. He did a nice job tonight.
I would say out of all four competitors, his was the best promo of them all.
It really was. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Speaking of promos, we heard from one of the teams competing for the NXT number one contendership, Sin Cara and Kalisto. This is what I wrote in my notes. Sin Cara spoke in Spanish. Then Kalisto started to translate, and he said, "We have a great challenge in front of us. We are confident in beating any tag team in NXT." Then I wrote more Spanish. He translated, "Even though the Ascension are a strong team, we are a strong team. And we have the skills, and we are, again, a strong team." Then Sin Cara spoke in English at the end. I was like, what? Why didn't you speak in English to begin with? It would have made my typing easier.
Because he can't? I don't know.
Well, solid promo. Kalisto has some okay mic skills.
Yeah, Kalisto definitely has some mic skills, which is nice to see. That will help a lot.
And that he can actually speak some good English, which is good.
Well, it's not even that he can speak good English; it's the fact that he can cut a good promo.
But I'm saying in terms of not many luchadors can speak English as well as he can, so that's to his advantage. Because if we go back to the days of Juventud Guerrera...
Yeah.
No.
No.
The juice? No. Juventud Guerrera? No. No. Juve was, very, I don't know how to put it nicely, but Juve was, interesting on the mic. Just the juice. As he was mocking The Rock at one point in his WCW career. basically, here, for an example of Juventud Guerrera, and here.
This is your friend, former WCW Cruiserweight Champion and WWE Cruiserweight Champion. Cheers, Juventud Guerrera.
You got respect, not the bad one, not the great one. You got respect, the juicy one.
And you're listening to WildTalkRadio.com radio show, the best juicy show in the world.
See?
Okay.
Anyway, moving on, he says. Up next, Tyler Breeze is entering the building as he takes on Ty Dillinger. This was a solid matchup between the two. Tyler worked over Ty early on. Ty came off the ropes, hit a nice shoulder block, and caught Tyler trying to do a leapfrog into an atomic drop, which was a nice spot. Tyler Breeze came back, stomped away in the corner with hard shots. Breeze got tied down for a while. Ty finally got back to his feet, had an Irish whip, sent Ty into the corner. Ty moved that away, but Ty then came with the ropes and got hit in the face with a beauty shot from Tyler Breeze for the victory. So Tyler Breeze looks strong tonight. Solid matchup to showcase them. That's basically the best way to put a few of these matches tonight.
Out of all of them, I think Breeze probably looked one of the strongest. It was a quick match, but it was a good match for him. It did what it needed to do. It made him look very strong heading into next week, which is what you want.
Yeah, yeah. Then we had Tyson Kidd. He talked about how there are four guys in this match. Individuals. There's one individual who's the greatest high flyer in the history of the UK. There's one guy who has the heart that the guy developed in Japan. One fella is cocky and determined and ruthless. And, well, he learned it in the dungeon. Then you have Zane, Neville, and Breeze. Good heel promo. That's a good heel promo, even though last time we saw him... He was sort of face-ish. So it was a good heel promo from Tyson. I thought so.
It was a good heel promo, but for me, it's just honestly... It doesn't do anything for me. It's... You can tell he's really... It feels like he's almost trying too hard with it. And it's just... It feels forced to me. It doesn't seem natural. It doesn't seem like it fits his personality to be like that.
Right.
So it's something of, it's like, dude, just... No. It's not... It doesn't do anything for me. And again, I'm still against this whole putting Tyson Kidd in the title match to begin with. Because it's for the developmental title. It's not for a title on... the main roster. If it was for like the US title or the IC title, then it'd be fine. Or, you know, even the World Heavyweight Championship, fine. But it's like, it's for the NXT title. It's like, dude, you shouldn't be feuding for this belt. You should be feuding for something on the main roster. It's like, let the developmental guys feud over their own title. That's why they have their own title, so they can feud over it, so they can build people with it. Like, seriously, if they put the title on Tyson Kidd next week, you are going to hear a rant on this show like you have never heard before.
Live next week on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that includes the one last week about Bray Wyatt.
Which, go back and listen to it at recradioshow.com.
And now that we have the cheap plugs out of the way. You're welcome. But yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, Tyson's trying. He's trying really hard, and I can tell, and I can appreciate what he's trying to do. And to his credit, Tyson is solid in the ring, but Tyson has always been solid in the ring. That's never been his problem. Tyson's problem is honestly that he has the personality of a carrot.
He's Canadian.
I'm sorry, Tyson. It's true, dude. I don't know. It's not coming off as genuine. It's coming off really kind of fake. And it's just like, it feels so forced to me. And therefore, it's like, it's not as enjoyable because I can't believe it. And I really want to. Like, I really want to buy into it. I really want to believe it. But I just can't. Mainly because I look at him and I'm like, you're so much better than this. Seriously. Like, he's been on the main roster for, what, 7 years?
Something like that, yeah.
And the most he's amounted to is feuding for the NXT title.
He was the tag team champion, and he had a WrestleMania moment, which he told us about a while ago and told us was a...
Again, the biggest title he's feuding for is the NXT title. There you go. So, yeah, it just... Again, good heel promo. He's really trying. You can tell he's really trying, but I'm sorry. Me personally, I'm not buying it. If you're buying it, great, wonderful, but yeah, me personally, just not buying him.
We then go to a video that was sent in by Enzo and Bikas.
Oh my god.
They were at Hair.
There was a Fifi mention.
There was this girl, Camilla, in there. That they were getting hair removal cream from. They made jokes about Enzo's mom. Carmella said some stuff. Some guy came in wanting wax. Then they got the bucket, and well, the bucket fell on Fifi the dog, and well, Fifi's hair sort of started coming out in clumps.
And then they ran away.
Yeah, it was a funny promo. There's not much to really recap. It's on the WWE.com's YouTube page if you want to go check it out.
It was a really nice setup for what happened late in the night. It was very entertaining. You had Enzo being Enzo. You had Cass being Cass. Again, out of the two, I like Big Cass better than I like Enzo. But that's just me. And I liked the setup. It was cheesy as hell. You know, you have this guy walk in with his, you know, standard poodle named Fifi, which I about lost my shit at. And if you don't know who Fifi is, just go look up Renee Dupree, okay? Just go do it. Just not while the show's on the air. And, yeah, it was a great setup. You could see where it was going when the guy walked in with the dog. And, yeah, basically they went to go get hair cream because Enzo has a match next week at TakeOver with Sylvester LaFour. It's hair versus hair, and he wants to make sure that, you know, he gets all the hair off of Sylvester's head when he wins. So he got hair removal cream. And, yeah, this was just, it was stupid and cheesy and hilarious all at the same time. They sold it.
Yes, yes, they did.
Seattle scored again? When the hell did Seattle score again?
Well, one weird break.
Oh, that would be when I went and got more water. Okay, that's why I didn't see it.
Yeah,
I just saw the score and I'm like, wait, that went up. Why did that go up?
And Green Bay scored as well. It's 29-16 at the moment with about 4:18 left to go. We can stop giving Marshall Lynch the ball. We can just round the rest of the clock. It would be fantastic. Anyway, it's called fantasy.
Ooh, he's looking snuffy.
It's called, hey, the producer's looking at his fantasy football team. If you're part of the WTR Fantasy Football League, welcome to the league. Somebody on this call had the best draft and wasn't even there.
I didn't even set anything up.
I just
kind of let it go. That's kind of my intention because I can't figure out the ESPN thing to save my soul. So it's like, you know what? It's just going to kind of sit there. Everybody looks good. Nobody's hurt. I'm good. I'll check it periodically, but yeah, pretty much not going to touch it.
Unless someone has a buy. So there you go. Up next.
Which I need to figure out when those are.
Yeah. Might be a good idea. We'll have to walk you through. I'll walk you through it one day.
Yeah.
Might be helpful. Thanks. Yeah.
Ooh, blatant face mask.
Yeah.
Blatant.
Blatant. It is, yeah. That's the best way to put it. Anyway.
Yeah, McCarthy's done.
Yeah. Adam Rose took on Tyson Kidd. Rose started with a headlock. Kidd brought him to the corner. Nailed him with a few hard kicks repeatedly. Rose had Kidd on the apron, but Kidd kicked him right in the head from the outside, then kicked him with a running kick right to the face of Rose, followed by a neckbreaker for two count. Kidd with the knees to Rose in the corner, which looked vicious. His snap suplex, two count. Rose countered the headlock with a jawbreaker and laid in elbows in the corner. Rose was starting to fire out big shots, followed by the spinning spine buster for a two count. Rose charged in, but Kidd drop kicked the knee of Rose, worked over for a minute, locked in the sharpshooter, and yes, the party was over as Adam Rose tapped out.
Tyson, honey, go ask your wife to teach you how to put on a sharpshooter. Because, honey, that was not okay. That was a really, really, really poor sharpshooter. Just saying. How did I know that last one was coming? Again. Yeah, they were coming, but yeah. Other than the bad sharpshooter at the end, this was a solid match. It made Tyson look good. You know, it's obvious that they are trying to make Breeze look strong. They're trying to make Tyson look strong. They're really trying to make all four contestants in the title match look strong. That's the point of these matches.
Yeah, yes they are. After the match, Zayn talked about how you don't have to pin the champion. He will win. I will pin anyone if it's a chance to win the title. And, well, the extra cherry on the top will be pinning Neville, because he's the guy that he would like to beat. I thought this was a very weak promo by Sami Zayn.
Yeah, this was just like, basically, Zayn was sitting there shooting shit, and it just wasn't even really that good. He's like, oh, you know, well, I would very much like to pin Adrian Neville, my friend, because, you know, that would mean so much more as he's the champion. It's like, dude, get fired up over this crap. You're getting a title shot. You know, it's like, come on, Sammy. This is the thing that you're supposed to be obsessed over. This is the thing that you're wanting more than anything else in the world. You know, where's that fire? Where's that passion? Where's that drive for it?
He just sort of seemed very laid back.
Yeah, he's very, really very meh on the whole thing. So it's like, dude, come on. You know, get pumped up over it. This is what you're wanting. You're finally getting a shot at what you want. You know, come on. Let's get fired up with this. And on another note, just to talk about Tyson and Adam Rose, you can see Adam Rose's stock is falling quite a bit.
A little bit.
Just a little bit.
Well, that technically has been his first loss in about 8 months.
So. Yeah, but
yeah,
can just kind of tell Adam Rose's stock is falling.
A little bit. The Vaudevillains had a promo. A chance! Tonight we prove we are cut above any tag team in NXT or WWE. And Gotch is the strongest strong man in WWE. He can move mountains. And tonight we prove we are superior.
I had a mini convo with Simon Gotch tonight. It was amazing.
Are we saving that for Tweet of the Week?
We are totally saving that for Tweet of the Week. But yeah, Vaudevillains, they're adorable. I mean, seriously, I'm all about the Vaudevillains right now, because it's just a great, great gimmick.
Yes, it is. So we have Sami Zayn versus Marcus Louis. Louis worked over the arm and slammed Zayn into the to the canvas with a backbreaker by Louis for a two count, locked in a chin lock. Louis whipped Zayn into the ropes, held on, laid in clothesline, big drop kick by Sami Zayn, and he locked in the Kochi clutch for the victory. Simple, short, to the point. I wasn't very impressed.
Yeah, this was the weakest of the four. And I don't know if that's entirely intentional. I don't know what all that means. And Seattle just scored again. But...
And it wasn't to Lynch, which is a good thing.
Yes, it was not to Lynch. Yeah, Green Bay is just like, yeah, screw this, we're done. But, yeah, this was just... Out of the four, this was the weakest, this was the least impressive, and I don't know if that was by design. I don't know if they just didn't give Zayn a good opponent, because I know Zayn's a good worker. I've seen other matches with him that are just absolutely fantastic, but then again, those are people that know how to work with him. And it could be just that Marcus Louis didn't quite know what to do with him. They couldn't quite put it together, they couldn't get it going, whatever the reason. It just, yeah, this was just not, I mean, it was solid, but it just wasn't impressive. At least as impressive as Breeze or even Tyson Kidd and Adrian Neville. And with a four-way coming up, you want to look your best, and Zayn did not.
Basically, they let Louis control the offense for a long time, and if you're out there to make Zayn look strong, he should have had more offense and really showcased some of his moves in this matchup, but they really didn't let him do it. They just let him lock in the Coachy clutch, and that was basically it for Zayn. He had a quick comeback and locked in the submission for the win, which is cool to see him win with the submission. But you would have seen, if you wanted to take him seriously, because you've been building up the big Yakuza kick lately, you should have let him use that in this match and sold it where it's like he can take off any one of the opponent's heads at any time.
Well, and to be fair, part of it, like I said, is probably by design to make Zayn look weak, so he looks like the underdog going into the match, and therefore people are going to root for him, because if you really think about it, you have Breeze who's a heel, you have Kidd who's a heel, Neville's kind of a tweener, he's not a heel, he's not a face, he's gotten cocky since he's gotten the title, but he hasn't quite crossed over all to full-fledged heel yet. Zayn's really the only true face that they have in that match right now. And so I think what they're trying to do with him is make him look like an underdog and build him as an underdog. That just did not get across tonight.
No, the announcer should have sold that a little bit more if that was the goal.
Yeah.
After the match, Enzo and Cass attacked Louis and Lefort from behind. They brought out the cream. Lefort ran away after being held up for a while. The problem I had with this, I'll let you give your thoughts in a minute, that the announcers had no idea what was in the bucket. That bugged me, because we went to the video package, and I know it was thrown in later. It just seemed, yeah, the announcers should at least have a heads up what the direction was. Anyway, your thoughts.
You know, in regards to that, they probably didn't have a direction at that point. They probably didn't know, because these are taped out so far in advance. They tape 4 weeks in the shot. So, it's something of, they could have taped the video this week. They could have taped the video last week. I mean, obviously, they had time enough to do a voiceover to dub it in to the show, which indicates that it was taped not too long after the show was taped, but what they neglected to do was go back in and do the voiceovers with Renee, Byron, and Tom, and have them talk about, you know, what was in the bucket.
Yeah, that's
redub that over.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I would like to see happen. It just caught me a little bit off guard. What do you think of the setup, though? Good stuff.
Good stuff, good setup. You have Sylvester Lefort get away. You have Enzo and Cass looking strong. You know, it was a nice setup for the match. Good continued build, especially since this really hasn't had a lot of attention. This was nice to see that they're continuing to keep the pressure on that and build it up to next week.
We had Neville promo saying he doesn't have to be pinned to lose, that's a fact. He says he likes to take risks. He's beating all three guys. Now all he has to do is beat them all at the same time. He's ready for the challenge. Again, a weak promo. He's not the strongest promo.
It was one of his better ones, I will say that. But yeah, Neville talking is not his strong suit.
No, it's not.
And it's just, it's something... Yeah, it was good for what it was, but yeah, Neville's just not the strongest promo guy. He needs help. Poor Adrian, he needs help. He's fantastic in the ring. He's wonderful in the ring. But talking, not so much. And I have to wonder if maybe he's not a little bit intimidated by that. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Oh, up next, we had Adrian Neville versus CJ Parker. They battled for a position for a little while. Neville did some backflips, took him down, big shot, locked in a headlock.
It's not CJ Parker.
Alright, what is it?
Mr. Man Panties.
Alright, Mr. Man Panties with a spin kick for a two count, which laid in left to Neville. CJ charged in. Mr. Man Panties charged in, but Neville got his boots up, but he charged on, got caught with a tilted war slam. Parker goes to the top rope, missed the splash. Neville laid in kicks. Neville charged in twice with running uppercuts, hit a drop kick, and went to the other side and hit the red arrow for the victory. Adrian Neville wins.
They need to get him some bigger man panties because I saw the tattoo on his butt. So, yeah.
There you go. Main event of the show is the Vaudevillains taking on Sin Cara and Kalisto. Kalisto and Engler started out with handshake. Kalisto was using his speed for basically a lot of the matchup, trying to take advantage to basically prevent the power advantage from Aiden English. When you see English and Kalisto side by side, it's kind of scary. one's really tall and one's really short.
And one's really skinny.
That too. Kalisto tried to use his speed again to his advantage. Kalisto dove off the top rope with a spinning arm drag. Sin Cara gets tagged in, slammed Kalisto to onto English, got tagged in at one point, gets hit with a hip toss, drop kick, and then some sort of monkey flip that didn't come off really well. Gotch finally knocked Sin Cara out of the ring. Double team uppercut in the corner with a neck breaker for a one count. English locks Sin Cara in the tree of woe, hit him with a couple shots, dove into him, but missed Sin Cara sat up out of the tree of woe, hit cross body off the top rope, which was nice. Both men tag into Gotch and Kalisto. Kalisto with a springboard splash, head scissors, and then a second head scissors from his knees for a two count. English was taken out by Sin Cara on the outside. Kalisto lays and kicks, did this springboard elbow, but missed, but was able to hit the flip back neck breaker, and then Sin Cara hit the senton for the win. So your winners, Kalisto and Sin Cara, as they move on and become the number one contenders for the NXT Tag Team titles.
I'm not okay with this.
No.
Again, it's just my issues of main roster guys feuding with developmental guys over developmental titles. And I understand that, you know, the purpose of having a main roster person come down, we talked about this last week, where it helps to give them fresh talent to work with, it gives them a little bit more experience in the ring, and that's great, and that's wonderful. But this is Sin Cara and Kalisto's, I believe, second crack at the title?
No, the first time it was Ricardo.
It was Ricardo, but then Kalisto got Sin Cara, and they had a match with the Ascension. I just can't remember if it was for the title or not. I don't think it was. But, yeah, it just, to me, it's like, and maybe they're saving the Vaudevillains for later because they are technically heels. The Ascension are heels. You don't want to have that mix. And also, you're trying to build English and Gotch. They need a little bit more credibility before they can take on the Ascension. That's fine. It's just, to me, it's like, Sin Cara and Kalisto versus the Ascension. It's like, eh? Doesn't really do anything for me. And again, it's like, Sin Cara doesn't really have any business and that this is all me personally, feuding for a developmental title. Especially when they need people feuding for the titles up on the main roster. It just, to me, that just, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So, and I told Rock this, it's like, well, I guess we know who's going over next week.
So let's get into that. Let's do some quick picks for TakeOver, which is next
week.
Good
match, by the way.
Good match. Which is on the WWE Network for only $9.99. Start with the tag titles. Kalisto and Sakaar challenge the Ascension. Who are you going with?
I'm going with the Ascension. I, as much as I want to, you know, say potentially Sin Cara and Kalisto, it's going to be the Ascension. They're going to tear right through them. They're not ready to take the titles off of the Ascension, and if you put them on Sin Cara and Kalisto, it's going to be something of either the Ascension's going to get them right back, or you're going to have, you're going to have to find someone to take them off of Sin Cara and Kalisto, because Sin Cara can't hold that title long term.
No.
And you want to have it on someone that can carry it long term, as the Ascension has. So I think the Ascension, they're going to get by one more time, and they're going to beat Sin Cara and Kalisto. What do you think?
I don't want to see Sin Cara and Kalisto with belts, but I'm going to pick them. I'm going to pick Kalisto and Sin Cara. It's going to be the upset. Sin Cara and Kalisto, because I think the Ascension are on the rise, and I'm tired of seeing them doing squash matches, so they either gotta move up, because their time in NXT is coming to an end. So I say Kalisto and Sin Cara win the belts, even though I don't want to see it.
We disagree on the first one. This could be interesting.
The White Taz, or the other Wyatt, what's it called?
He's Luke and Bray's love child.
Luke and Bray's love child. Bull Dempsey takes on Mr. Stay Hyped, Mojo Rawley.
This is on the card?
According to Wikipedia, it is. They've been building to it. I assume it is.
Wow. Okay.
Well, they broke up as a tag team, and now they've been cutting. The last 2 weeks, they've been cutting
promos. They don't even count as a tag team. They teamed for 1 week.
And then they've been cutting promos on one another. Last week, they had a big. Last week was their big build up. So yeah, it's happening.
The Bastard Wyatt, because as much as I love Mojo, they are clearly trying to build and establish Dempsey, and I'm going to go with Dempsey here.
I'm going White Taz as well. Hair versus Hair. Enzo Amore versus Sylvester Laforte.
This is hard.
Enzo's going bald.
You think Enzo's going bald?
Yeah.
Okay, why?
Because look how much hair Laforte has. I can't see him going bald. I think there's more comedy in Enzo being bald. I think that's the idea. I think there's going to be comedy with Enzo being bald. So that's sort of where my thought process is.
Yeah, I can see that. So I'll pick Laforte to win.
Yeah, I'm going Laforte to win. So Enzo's going bald. NXT Women's Championship is on. NXT Women's Championship is on the line. You will have Charlotte taking on Bayley, and this one has been built up really, really well between the two girls.
Kidding?
Yeah, that happened. That happened.
You're kidding me with that crap right now. I'm hardwired in.
Your stuff dropped. Yeah, that's all on you.
I'm hardwired in.
Yeah, I know. I know, it made me laugh. Charlotte and Bayley for the women's title. They've been doing a good job building this one up, as I was mentioning before you dropped.
Stupid. I really want Bayley to win.
So do I, but after tonight, I kind of see Charlotte winning.
I don't know. I can see. Here's the thing with me. Paige held that title. She held it for a long, long, long time. I don't think they want to do that again, where they just put the title and they leave it on someone. I think they want to generate competition. And Charlotte is always better when she chases. I'm honestly going to say that the upset's going to happen when Bailey beats Charlotte.
I'm going with Charlotte.
I'm going with Bailey.
I want to go with Bailey. I really do, but
I don't see her having a long title run, but I can see them putting the title on Bailey just because it gives Charlotte someone to chase. Because the thing with this is, if Bailey loses, who does Charlotte get next?
Yeah, you're right. All right, I'm going Bailey. You talked me into it. Bailey. Because I just...
Yes!
Because I figured if they want to, they can change the title back on TV if they want to.
Yeah, they can just... They can... Like I said, it's probably not... If Bailey wins, it's not going to be a long title run for Bailey. But they at least get the title off of Charlotte for a little bit.
And let her chase down Bailey, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you talk me back into Bailey. Bailey, hug life. Hashtag it. For life. There you go.
That's how we roll, yo.
Main event. Fatal 4-way. Fatal 4-way for the NXT Championship. Adrian Neville defends against Tyson Kidd, Sami Zayn, and Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze takes it, needs it. I don't see Zayn getting it yet. He's going to get frustrated. He's going to come short. Tyson Kidd doesn't need it. Tyler Breeze needs it. Breeze needs it. Adrian Neville has been in the main event for the first three live specials. It's time for someone else to be in the main event. Tyler Breeze.
I don't know, honestly, who to pick. Yep. Except for Tyson. I'm not picking Tyson. Yeah, this is a hard one to call, because it's like you could leave it on Neville, but again, Neville's kind of in the same situation as Charlotte, where Neville's really good when he chases. He's been a wonderful champion. He's been a fighting champion, but he's kind of gone through everybody, and that's the problem. And you have two competitors in Neville and Zayn that could chase Breeze if he wins. And that sets up two feuds right away for Tyler Breeze, plus any other contenders that come along. So yeah, I'll go with Breeze as well. It makes sense to put the title on him, but I can also see that they leave it on Adrian, at least for a little bit longer. But Tyler needs it more, and I think it would get more attention on Tyler, because the thing with him is he can talk, he knows how to work the crowd. Neville can do that, but he's not as good at it. And Tyler is way more flashy as well. So yeah, I'm going to say Tyler Breeze.
So the way I remember in my head, I just created three new champions tonight.
I created two.
Yes, you did. So that's what we see, and will we be right? Will we be wrong? We'll find out next week, because NXT TakeOver is live. 8/7 Central on the WWE Network, a 2-hour live special with a 30-minute pre-game show on the WWE Network and YouTubes and Facebooks and Twitters and...
No, get it right. It's various other networks, I believe, is what they said on the show tonight. Like, I actually had to stop making dinner when they said that and turn around and look at the computer. I'm like, what other networks?
Various other social networks.
Yeah. I only heard networks.
Oh, I thought maybe only networks, yeah.
I swear to God he said only networks, because I actually stopped and turned and looked at the computer when he said that. Like, what the hell, dude?
They had all the little logos underneath the graphic, yeah. You could tell that was voiced in.
Yeah, that was voiced in. So, I say we take our second and final break of the evening, and when we come back, we'll give you the updates on the Green Bay and Seattle game, because it's now in the books. And we'll let you know who won that. Not that it's really any big surprise based on our last update. We've got Tweet of the Week. We have our Raw discussion. We're going to tell you everything that happened on Monday night and give you our opinions. And, of course, our question of the night, which is football-related. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl this year? So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. We'll be right back. you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jonathan! Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a gap. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins out! He's assaulting Ambrose! After he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's up, bitches? This is the Boston Badass, a.k.a. the Big Time Player, a.k.a. the Resident Masshole, or just simply, Ace. I'm here to tell you about a way for you to find out about all the unusual things we have done over the years, and trust me, we have done a lot of unusual things over the past few years. Everything from bitches to crossing highways to strange ramblings by subway that no one ever really understands. Sex toys, which of course includes the blue dildo, and even the time, well, times I got pissed face drunk on this. Really, Rock? We're gonna really talk about that? Fuck you. You can relive all the excitement of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night, CB Radio, by visiting our official website at cbradio.ewazone.com. That's once again, cbradio.ewazone.com. Don't be a bitch ass. Visit the site and listen every Saturday night. About midnight, sometimes it starts about 12:30-ish, you know, Eastern time. Just to find out what possibly we can come up with next.
Hey, Wild Talk Radio, this is New York Times bestselling author Brian Shields.
The greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at this! He's having a goal! I don't believe it!
And my new book, 30 Years of WrestleMania, is coming out September 15th.
The spectacle that is WrestleMania. This is it.
Pre-order it now wherever books are sold.
Here we go! Once in a lifetime!
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and the first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAasylum.com.
Slurp these babies down.
Sunday,
The Divas are back. And with a new face mixing things up, they're off to the most totally unpredictable.
I've had hundreds of hours of therapy.
Totally revealing.
Literally half your breast is hanging out. Side boob is the new cleavage.
And totally eye-opening new season yet.
You being naked makes me feel uncomfortable.
Do you want me to get dressed?
Total Divas begins Sunday at 9, followed by a brand new Rich Kids, only on E!
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Rising from the ground, echoes of the sound. Ashes of the past, on the present, and the future is now. They can't wait till another goes down. I am the path of destruction.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling action figure needs. And now, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
All right, so DiGiorno Pizza. School supplies for college students. Number one, pizza. Number two, an oven to bake the pizza in. Number three, a pizza for when the other pizza is gone for repeat. They should have added skip step two because you don't need multiple ovens. Just pointing that out. Renee Young. Jerry Springer is on Raw next week. My career goals are within reach. Renee Young again. I'm a changed woman now. For the better. I couldn't be happier with my decision. I added two pumps of pumpkin spice to my awake tea. To tea! DiGiorno Pizza. How to college. First you pizza, then you learn stuff, then you pizza again. Accurate. Renee Young. I don't even know what Terminal 7 means, but I'm hoping it's a strong lean towards exotic foods and beverages. She follows that up with, well, Terminal 7 is in fact quite exotic. James Storm. Well, Rockstar Spud, the revolution could always use a maid.
Ooh.
And as I mentioned earlier, I was having a mini conversation with Simon Gotch, in which I told him in English that, well, they're both adorable. And he replied with, what if we had a Gibbon butler? And proceeded to tweet me a picture of a Gibbon with a mustache. I'm not even kidding. It's amazing.
I'm clapping with my hand on my chest because I have the iPad in my other hand.
I actually just was like, I'm done. Somebody take Twitter away from me. Please, just somebody please take it away. I'm done after that.
You're done?
Yeah, and that's all I got.
Heel book. What's an all? Here's a question for you. I'm going to ask you this. What's it both an online game store and what WWE is taking away from the Wyatts? Do you know the answer? The answer is Steam.
Give me back my cult leader, goddammit!
Hold on, we're getting to him. Katie Nolan tweets, I wish they got Lisa Turtle to play Lisa Turtle. Hashtag unauthorized save by the bell. God, was that a... Yeah, that was a thing. Keep it five star. The initials for International House of Pain spell IHOP. Goddammit, Mark Henry. Hashtag raw. Katie Nolan, I don't remember the Screech try straight vodka out of a flask episode. Neither do I.
It's the Lost episode?
Apparently. So let me get, again from Kate Nolan, so let me get this straight. Screech karate chopped that Asian dude and stole his flask of straight vodka and only drinks that? Okay, then. Triple H, see the Monday Night War at every WWE pay-per-view on the WWE Network for $9.99. Order now, and I'll throw in an extra W at no extra cost. Hashtag WWWE.
Oh, Hunter. Bless you.
Lana. Lincoln and Des Moines, and Des Moines, not impressed. You are stupid. Goodbye. It's like you're all the weakest link. Goodbye. John Bradshaw Layfield. Congrats to Michael Sam NFL signing with the Dallas Cowboys. I hope you can play quarterback. Someone replied, Tony Romo was a top 10 quarterback, you moron. He replied, wah, Romo has one more playoff win than me. He really does.
It's kind of true.
Kind of factual. And sorry, Kinkins, I had to put that on Facebook. Just point that out.
You're not sorry for that?
Sorry, not sorry. Anyway.
Why?
Roderick Strong tweeted Chris Sabin, I hate your boots. Chris Sabin replied, we can be enemies over this, or create a tag team. Two dudes with little boots? Chris Jericho was tweeted, how many people in your life have told you that you look like Bon Jovi? Well, I think that too. He replied, 17,345,456 at last count. Tommy Dreamer.
How many have told him Gordon Ramsay, though? That's the thing.
You should tweet him that and answer that question. I dare you.
Where's my phone?
Tommy Dreamer, when I hold a plank for 1 minute, when it stops, it sounds like a Haunted Mansion movie clicks, cranks, and weird noises from elbows and knees. Sorry, Tommy. And the fake John Gruden. The Seahawks got a field goal, but I'll tell you what, if they could have gotten a touchdown, they would have had 4 more points right now, man.
Okay.
That's tweet of the week. So, as Lindsay mentioned, we weren't on the air because, well, actually Monday was the scheduled night off compared to all the other nights that have been taken off because of internet issues.
His internet issues, I might add.
My internet issues, though you had some on Tuesday, so you've...
Hey, you know what? I didn't cause that one.
Yes.
To be fair, you didn't cause yours, but I sure as hell didn't cause that one, okay? I can't help it if my father killed the network.
I still think you were the problem. Why? Because, you know.
It was his idea to bring the stuff in the house.
Uh-huh. Anyway, we didn't get to cover Raw, so we're going to cover the high points of Monday Night Raw.
I'll let you go first.
I don't even know what the... Chris Jericho and Triple H, that was a high point.
It's Violet, you Nimrod.
Quote of the night. The chemistry between Chris Jericho and Triple H is tremendous. Triple H did Jericho's podcast. The two of them talking the business together, tremendous. Go listen to it. It's awesome. Only time I'll ever recommend another podcast. And Chris Jericho's because he's way over the top every time I've heard it. That being said, there's a lot wrong with that show, including Triple H calling Kane the Demon Kane when he's corporate Kane. And the idea of it being basically trying to a proving ground night for John Cena, and when they kept promoting that John Cena was still going to fight Brock Lesnar, so it really didn't matter throughout the night. So it was kind of sort of, it just didn't all, it didn't fully add up. So that's that. The growing up Bella segments were different. To me, I didn't think they were as bad as a lot of other people. I kind of laughed at them, even though that probably wasn't the point. The idea for it was basically Nikki giving out a bunch of lies, you would assume these were lies. Because if they're not lies, then why should we care about Brie? That's a question I throw it to you. If these are true statements, how's Brie the good girl in this one?
Well, okay, here's the thing about the Bellas. If you watch Total Divas, because this is clearly geared towards the Total Divas audience, it's no secret that the producers of Total Divas wanted the Bellas to feud. Then you know that the Bellas both have a past, you know that they used to be party girls, and that Brie is not as innocent as they play her on TV.
Hashtag Brie mode.
Hashtag Brie mode. So, these could be true, they could be lies, they could be exaggerations, we don't know. It's all dependent on how much of Brie's past they're really willing to acknowledge. Now, would I say that, you know, they switch places to cheat on a test? I would believe they probably wouldn't have. Just because Brie is smarter than Nikki. Just, you know, gonna throw that out there.
As we've proven, we're watching Total Divas, which coming back, the Total Divas this Sunday night, as we played throughout the evening, at 9 p.m. Eastern on E. And the Rack and the Rack Extra returns this week.
Yes. No offense to Nikki Bella, but yeah, Brie seems to be the more intelligent of the two.
At least
she has more common sense than Nikki seems to have.
At times.
But yeah, I mean, it's obviously geared to be soap opera-y, it's geared to be stupid, it's geared to appeal to people who want drama, who are into that kind of thing. And they're really almost gearing it towards the female audience. Because it is very talk show-like, where you have Nikki giving confessions. And it's, you know, it's not even talk show, it's reality show. Where she's sitting in the confessional booth and she's telling everybody her secrets. And specifically, she's talking about Brie and spilling the secrets about Brie. And some people will eat that up, other people will, you know, throw it up. They didn't like it. And you have every right to like it. It's, to me, to lead off, and because I was watching it with two of my friends, to lead off with the boyfriend was kind of stupid. I would have led off with the test. But, and kind of built up to the boyfriend. But, yeah, it's just like growing up Bella, it was cheesy. But it got the point across. And it led to a rather kind of head-scratching segment between Stephanie and Nikki, which AJ and Paige and Brie were involved in. It's like, Steph and Brie and Nikki, that's fine. And we're just going to jump into it, where basically Stephanie said that Nikki is the number one contender for the Divas title. Which brought out AJ, who said, nuh-uh, I never got my rematch, I'm the number one contender for the title.
Which is true.
Brie had a wait what moment when she came out, and I'm not sure if she came out before or after AJ.
Brie was out first.
Brie was out first? Okay.
Brie was out first because she came out and talked about, was this really over a title shot? Really, Nikki? Really? This was over? Was this all about a title shot? Then AJ,
that's right.
Then AJ came out. By the way, sidetrack a little bit. The two of them, Steph and AJ, those the stairs. The stairs between the two.
Oh, my lord.
But I love when AJ comes out and gets in the ring with Steph and goes, hi, boss lady.
Right? And you know she's inwardly fangirling because AJ has a thing for Steph.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
But yeah, and then it's like Paige comes out and she's like, hey, yeah, by the way, you know, Divas Champion, you kind of need me. So it was a really awkward segment with the five of them, just because AJ and Paige were the third wheels of the segment. You didn't really need them out there, but it's like Steph naming Nikki number one contender. It makes sense to have AJ come out there and say, hey, I'm the number one contender technically because I never got my rematch against Paige.
Right.
And then, of course, you have Paige come out and be like, well, wait. But you didn't really need her to come out. Other than maybe to protest the fact that Stephanie basically said, F you, I don't want you as my champion. I want Nikki as the face of my Divas division.
Pretty much that was basically the...
That was actually what was pretty much said was Steph wants Nikki as the face of the Divas division, which is a slap in the face to Paige, to AJ, and to Brie. It's pretty much a slap in the face to every diva in the back, because it's, you know, a screw you type of thing. I will say that AJ and Paige's facial expressions in the segment were hilarious.
Yeah, they were. I thought Nikki did fine. I thought her taunting Brie at the end, like, a lot of it was okay, whatever. But the taunting of it, you know, having her, forcing her to, we can put, I'll forgive you if you just quit. Quit. Leave. Just leave. That taunting was tremendous.
That was great, because it's Brie, it's Nikki and Brie probably at their best. You know, where it's Nikki's just taking that stick and she's just poking at Brie. Because Brie isn't doing the one thing that we would all expect her to do, which is fight back.
Right.
Stupid ad with sound. Anyway, but yeah, we're waiting for that moment where Brie fights back against Nikki, where she pushes against Nikki to, you know, basically say enough is enough. And we got that at the end of the segment where Brie slapped Nikki.
Yeah, she did.
Slapped the crap out of her and actually slapped her into Paige.
Yeah, she knocked her back right into Paige, yeah.
Which Paige made a brilliant save with the title, I will say that.
Because it almost went out of the ring. I was like, oh, that needs to stay in the ring. Because AJ went, ooh, shiny belt. And then this moment, give me the belt.
Yeah, and then Steph's looking at AJ like, give me the title.
That's a WrestleMania match right there, Steph and AJ.
Oh, God. AJ would be down for it. I know she would. I would love to see Steph and AJ. That would be fantastic. They'll probably never do it, but I would really love to see it, just because you could do a nice build between the two, because kind of unlike Brie, AJ can talk.
Yeah.
AJ's a much stronger
promo speaker than
Brie ever will be. And that's just because AJ has more experience with it than Brie does. If you really think about it, this angle and the angle with Stephanie were really the first angles where Brie had a large speaking role. The Bellas have never really had that before.
On the positive, there was a lot of negative, but on the positive, we had a 10-minute segment with the women.
Right? And there was a Divas match earlier in the show as well.
We're not going to talk about that.
We're not going to talk about it, but you think about it. You had two women's segments on Monday Night Raw. One of them that was 10 minutes long,
if not longer.
And it was not longer,
and it was featured at the top of an hour, which is a big time period for the show. So it's like for the Divas matches, bathroom break stuff that people say on the internet, they're trying to change the culture about women's wrestling right now. On TV, and by featuring the women in longer segments, giving them more than 2 minutes on TV, which is good.
Well, what's unique about this situation is, for years and years and years and years, pretty much for as long as we can remember, the authority figure in the company, the main authority figure, who is Vince McMahon, is obviously male. So the interactions with the male authority figure are going to lend themselves to the male side of the roster. That's now flipped, where your main authority figure in the company, or at least your main McMahon authority figure, is a woman in Stephanie McMahon. So you now have that door open for Stephanie to be able to work with the Divas and do that same kind of thing for the Divas, where basically they have someone to push against. The guys have Triple H, and that's fine. And the guys can work with Steph, too, but you really do have a very unique opportunity in Stephanie to take some of your divas and have them push against her and use her in those kinds of storylines, like what they did with Brie Bella, what they could do with AJ Lee, and many of the other divas. And it helps to build role models for young girls, because I think WWE is finally acknowledging their female fan base. I think they finally realize how large their female fan base is. And that it's not just young boys watching the show. You have young little girls watching the show as well. And it's like the guys have role models that they can look up to, but for years the girls really haven't. And now you can see WWE, and it's starting in NXT, and it's slowly making its way to the main roster, building female role models for girls and women to look up to cheer on, to root for. You're seeing the women get merchandise, which I haven't seen that happen since Trish and Lita.
And there's a lot of merchandise on WWEshop.com.
Right. So they're trying to balance that out for the girls and the guys. Would ever be equal? No. But the fact that I know everybody doesn't like female-driven storylines, but for me as a female viewer, it's really refreshing to see, especially for the Bellas, that it's not about a boy or clothes or anything else really stupid. It's just two sisters feuding.
It's a semi-believable feud.
It's a semi-believable feud. Just like when it was Brie and Steph. A lot of people didn't like that. I personally loved it because, again, it wasn't over, you know, somebody stole somebody's boyfriend, or it was over clothes, or it was over, you know, something stupid. It was over the fact that Stephanie was screwing Brie Bella's husband over constantly, and Brie had had enough, and she was going to stand up for herself, and she was going to fight Steph. You have no idea, as a female viewer, what that means to see the fact that you have a woman rallying against the authority figure and standing up to her and saying, you know what, screw you, let's fight. And you had Stephanie McMahon and Brie Bella get in the ring at SummerSlam and put on, was it match of the night, but it was a great match. And it was given time, it was taken seriously, and it was a really, 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 at least for me, cool storyline to see. And that's the one great thing that I love about WWE right now, is that they're pushing the women. Stephanie McMahon, if I could talk, seems to be very into empowering the divas. She said this more than once. She said it in NXT. And that seems to be trickling down to the main roster as well, where they want to build the women. They want to make the women stronger. They want to make the women mean something again. Because they know the divas division is a joke. They've known that for years. And now you see this really conscious effort on the part of the WWE to try and fix that, where you have less models and more wrestlers starting to make their appearance again. Not that there is anything wrong with the models, but for years WWE found girls that were pretty, that looked good in a swimsuit, taught them a couple moves, and threw them in the ring, and really didn't give them any time other than to shake their tits and their ass. Now you're seeing the girls getting time. Now you're seeing the girls getting pushed. And you're seeing girls that can work. Look at who your focus is right now. AJ and Paige. And the Bellas. And yes, the Bellas are not the greatest wrestlers, but guess what? They've improved a lot. They are way better than they ever were, especially Brie. Brie's gotten so much better.
So is Nikki.
So is Nikki, but Brie has gotten a lot better. Brie's taken it, I think, a little bit more seriously than Nikki has.
And they're both different now. They both have two different styles of wrestling now.
Yeah, they both have two different styles of wrestling now. They've really made an effort and dedicated themselves to their craft to learn. And I have to applaud that. And that's true of all the girls that are on the roster right now, is that all the girls that they have can go to a degree. It's not like it was before where they couldn't. Or they tried or it was a slap fest. You're seeing girls that are athletic, that can throw moves, and they can throw complicated moves. You know, you have, I want to call her Trinity, but that's not a ring name, Naomi, pulling moonsaults.
Split leg moonsaults.
Split leg moonsaults.
That's not that easy.
That's not that easy. She can do the rear view. She can throw herself over the ropes. She can do any kind of move that you want. You have Brie Bella pulling all kinds of submission moves out of her rear end that we never even knew she could do.
Nikki Bella is showing off her power.
Nikki Bella is showing off her strength and her power. AJ Lee's pulling out a shining wizard.
And Paige is pulling out this awesome PTO submission. Also.
Yeah, a submission that I had, the Scorpion Deathlock, that I had never even seen. I was like, holy crap, that's awesome.
Well, you know what's funny? A little sidetrack on that. I was watching an old episode of Raw the other day. A few days ago. From 1995. The night after WrestleMania. And then I see this girl, Bull Nakano, pull out the Scorpion Crosslock.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, right, she used to do that. And that was back in 1995. So it's been almost 20 years since that move's been seen in WWE.
And that's amazing. And it's...
And Bull Nakano was a bigger girl.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, anyway.
Way bigger than Paige, that's for sure.
That, yeah. Well, oh, yeah.
But, you know, kind of getting back on the point, there's this empowerment movement in WWE for their female talent. And that's an obvious, that's being driven by Stephanie McMahon and Hunter to a degree, where they're looking to empower their female wrestlers. They're looking to make them stronger, make them comparable to the guys, make them less of a joke. And that's so wonderful to see as a female viewer. And again, I have to believe that is the acknowledgement that they have a female fan base, because I don't think they ever realized that before. They always assumed that their fan base was male and it was 18 to 35. And that's not the case anymore. You have moms watching with their kids. You have people like me who just watch on their own, and my friends who we all watch on our own together. And it's not just girls going, oh my God, look at him, he's half naked, he's hot. You know, there are girls that take this as serious as a regular sport, me included. And we enjoy it as a sport. Not as just guys running around half naked. Thank you.
Because the people you like the most aren't even half naked. Anyway.
Yeah, just putting that out. He's fully dressed.
All of them.
All of them are fully dressed. The only one is Kane, and he's running around without a top on. He's got slacks on. But
and a lot of that success is, and the acknowledgement of the audience is because of Total Divas. They realize they have something there, and as the show has grown, you've seen more and more. Focus on the women.
And we've forgotten Natty. We've completely forgotten Natty. How can we forget Natty? Natty Neidhart. Enough said there. But yeah. Well, I mean, shows like Total Divas, they serve their purpose. Are they campy? Is it campy? Yes. Is it soap opery? Yes. But it gives you a chance to see the divas like you never get to see them before. And that's the chance to really see their own individual personalities, which WWE has never concentrated on. Character development for really anybody is not high on their list, but especially for the women, they're not into building their personalities. They haven't been for years. So the fact that we get to see the Bellas, and you get to see the differences between Nikki and Brie, you get to see how Natty is outside the ring, how the Funkadactyls are outside the ring, Eva Marie. You know, the list goes on and on and on in terms of who's on the show. And you get to learn about their individual personalities and their lives and their likes and their dislikes. And it allows you to connect to them in a way that you don't get on WWE TV. Because it's like, you know, before it was a 5-minute squash match, maybe between Natty and Summer Rae.
2 minutes.
2 minutes at that. I was being generous, 5 for entrances. But, you know, it's like, you can't connect to that. You can't cheer for that, because it's, you barely blink and it's over. So, Total Divas, for all of its faults, gives you an opportunity to connect with their talent on a level that you've never been able to do before. And I wish they would actually extend that out to the guys. And allow you to connect to the guys, because if you look at, you know, at the men of Total Divas, you get to see Brian in a completely different spectrum. John Cena, the Usos.
I became a fan of the Usos thanks to Total Divas.
Yeah, seriously. I connected to the Usos thanks to Total Divas because, you found out, oh, hey, they're kind of awesome. They're pretty hilarious. You never got to see that with the Usos because they were never on TV.
Or a video game.
So, yeah, it's like, again, for all of its faults, Total Divas serves its purpose. It allows, and it helps to build a new fan base. It helps to bring people into the product that may have never watched the product before. Because, again, they connect to the divas, or they connect to whomever they want on the show. And it piques their interest of, oh, hey, this is kind of cool. Well, let me turn on WWE TV. And it's partially self-serving because when those new fans turn on WWE TV, you see girls like Natty and the Bellas and Summer Rae and AJ and Paige kicking ass on television and getting these long matches and being empowered and doing all of that. But it's great to see. Just as a regular fan, even if you don't watch Total Divas, it's a wonderful thing to see because it's like, God damn, finally! You have no idea how demoralizing it is, and this is just going to turn into a rant. You got me going now. You have no idea how demoralizing it is as a fan to sit there week in and week out and watch bra and panties matches, or lingerie matches, or stripper on a pole matches, or bikini contests, or wrestling in gravy. How demoralizing that is as a female fan. Again, I know they served a purpose, but when you don't see the guys having to go through that, it really kind of sucks. I'm not even gonna lie. It really sucks. It's like, I have advocated for years, where the hell is my goddamn tuxedo match? I want it. And now I want it to be Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. Somebody in WWE book that shit. Make it happen. Where is my beefcake calendar? You know, again, for years, it was the divas in bikini shoots and lingerie shoots. Where's my beefcake calendar? I want it. You know, it's something of, I've been waiting, you know, it's like as a female fan, it's really just demoralizing where you see where the women, stood in their product, which wasn't very high. So it's like you can clearly tell that they really don't give a shit about their female audience. Because again, they're targeting men. But as a female fan, that's really not what you want. So now that you're seeing them starting to target at women, that's really cool. Because it's like, hey, look, they actually give a damn. How about that?
Going into SummerSlam, I was looking forward to one of the bigger matches I was looking forward to, besides seeing John Cena get his butt whooped.
Was tremendous.
Was Stephanie and Brie.
Mm-hmm.
That had my interest a lot on Monday nights. Leading up to the match. It really did. And the fact that they were in the main event a couple times, even better.
Yeah, the fact that you had Stephanie and Brie close up Monday Night Raw more than once, it was like, yes! But, yeah, and the fact that Stephanie and Brie was not any kind of stupid gimmick match. The fact that you even had Stephanie wrestle. Because I think people forget, especially with Stephanie, she's not the greatest worker in the world. But she's willing to go out there and do some pretty crazy shit. She always has been. she won't do a lot, but she, you know, lest we forget, she did an I Quit match with her father, and her father beat her ass all over that ring.
5 days, 6 days before her wedding.
Yes. To which her mother's going, oh my god, not the face, not the face. Don't hit her in the face, not the face.
That's exactly, she mentioned it on a DVD of some sort, that's exactly what she was saying.
But yeah, so it's like, again, the kind of looping it all back around, the kind of the point of this is, I know not everybody liked the Growing Up Bellas, and to me it was cheesy, and to me it was a little stupid. It was a little over-dramatized. You could have done the one, or done something else. You know, honestly, I just would have done the segment between Stephanie and Brie and Nikki, and that was plenty. That's all you needed to do. But some people like the Growing Up Bella. You know, some people were a fan of it. You know, the Jerry Springer thing, I think it's getting a little overboard with it, but I'm going to have to see how they do it. But the fact that basically Nikki betrayed her sister to get a title shot, I'm okay with that. Because it's Nikki looking out for herself. It's Nikki looking to advance her career. Because essentially, Brie kind of did the same thing when Brie, Nikki was hurt.
Brie abandoned her.
Yeah, Brie abandoned her. Nikki got hurt, and Brie went off on a singles career and on a singles run. And Brie got a title shot.
Right, and then Brie quit, leaving Nikki alone, so now Nikki's looking out for Nikki.
Yeah, Brie left Nikki alone, and now Nikki's looking out for Nikki. So the Bellas are going to get back together. We all know that. But now it's we see the Bellas as individuals. We don't see them as the twins. We see them as Brie and Nikki. And that's really important, that we see them as individuals and not just as a set. Do they need to get one of them better new music?
Eventually that's coming.
Eventually that's coming. But yeah, that, you know, it wasn't the best way that they did it Monday night.
It wasn't the worst either.
It wasn't the worst. It could have been a lot worse. They got the point across, which is what they meant to do. AJ and Paige were a little bit superfluous. But what can you do?
That's leading to a larger story, and it continues on SmackDown.
Yeah, that's leading to a three-way at the pay-per-view.
Four-way
at the pay-per-view.
Staying on what's coming up on the season premiere of Monday Night Raw, including Jerry Springer, is a showdown between Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho inside a steel cage that was made on Monday Night Raw. Which featured a lacking of, oh, hey, this match is happening kind of deal.
Can I just go?
Go. What's the segue?
Why the hell are you wasting this on Raw? Why? This is the third match in a series of three between Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho. Why, number one, is this being done on Monday Night Raw? Why is this not being done on Night of Champions? Number two, you have done nothing, and I mean nothing, since SummerSlam between Bray and Jericho to warrant this match. Basically, after SummerSlam, Jericho was like, yeah, he beat me. I'm cool. And he left. It's like, what the hell, dude? You should be kind of pissed off that Bray Wyatt outsmarted you and beat you. But no, Jericho was, you know, totally fine with it. He's totally cool with it. And suddenly, out of nowhere, we get the third match between Bray and Jericho. There is no encounter between the two. There is no setup for it beyond Jericho insulting Triple H's tie. And for whatever reason, that warranted a cage match with Bray Wyatt. And they didn't even have Hunter announce that. They just made the announcement randomly in the middle of Raw that Jericho is going to be facing Bray Wyatt next Monday on Monday Night Raw. Why? I don't understand why they have shot the pooch on this. I really don't understand. You had such fantastic potential with this feud. It was going really well up until SummerSlam, and then it's like they were just like, oh yeah, F it, and just dropped it. Completely. I mean, was it the Jericho schedule changed? Were they not happy with what happened at SummerSlam? I don't know. But I don't understand why they are throwing this away on Raw. I don't understand why they are having virtually no interaction between Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho. beyond, and I don't understand why you couldn't even use Hunter to set this up.
He did a great job on WWE.com setting it up.
He did a great job of selling Bray Wyatt, absolutely. But as we said last night, that's not making it to TV. Nobody is seeing that Hunter is saying Bray Wyatt is a force to be feared. Because they're doing sweet fuck all on television to make Bray Wyatt fearsome. They have literally cut his legs out from underneath him on television. It's like Bray Wyatt can talk a fabulous game, but nobody believes in him because he can't back his shit up. And when he did finally back it up and he beat Chris Jericho on his own, single-handedly, in rather impressive fashion, what did they do that next week? They had John Cena come out and destroy him. Destroy him and the boys. So they basically made the Wyatt family worthless in one night. They made everything they did at SummerSlam, everything Bray and Jericho did before that, worthless, because it didn't matter because Cena walked out there and kicked his ass when he shouldn't have. I'm still bitter, can you tell?
Doing the hand thing just a little.
I mean, it's just, I don't understand why they're booking this like this beyond we need, it's Monday Night Football, it's the season premiere of Monday Night Raw, we need something. Why don't you put it on the pay-per-view? Beyond, this is Jericho's I think the pay-per-view is Jericho's last date. Unless that's changed.
Supposedly it is at Night of Champions.
But, yeah, this makes no sense. You could have done so much better in setting this up, and you didn't. You just, it's like, oh yeah, by the way, here, Chris Jericho in a cage match, and go. And of course, you know, all the Bray Wyatt fans are sitting here going, oh God, he's gonna lose. Oh Jesus, he's gonna lose. Because we all know what happens when Bray Wyatt gets in a cage.
He beats John Cena with a demented child.
Little Johnny comes back. One, I will laugh my ass off. Two, I'll call shenanigans. One, first time Bray Wyatt got in a cage, that I can recall, Dan O'Brien beat him up and left him laying.
Well, that really wasn't a cage match. They lost to the Usos.
I'm getting to a point.
I know.
Second time was with John Cena, and the only reason he won that match was because they found a demonic possessed child.
Who's got the whole world
in his hands. Yes. Which, okay, yay, Bray beat Cena. But he doesn't really beat him, does he? Yeah, sure, John Cena was stopped from getting out of the cage, but for most of that match, John Cena beat Bray Wyatt's ass like a drum.
Because John Cena can't look weak.
Because John Cena can't look weak. Now Bray Wyatt's getting in the ring with Chris Jericho in a cage match. And to be fair, this has been a little bit more balanced. Bray did beat Jericho in impressive fashion, as I said, at SummerSlam. But Jericho beat Bray in rather impressive fashion at Battleground. So they're even. The point that I'm trying to make is bad things happen to Bray Wyatt when he gets in a cage. And Bray Wyatt does not necessarily have the strongest of showings whenever he gets in a cage. This could change because it's Chris Jericho. And I'm hoping and praying to God that they let Bray go over Jericho. And they let him do it in relative impressive fashion. They can't get too violent because obviously it's public television. You know, this is not on the network, this is not on pay-per-view, you can't amp up the violence. But then again, they put Dean Ambrose through cinder blocks on Monday Night Raw. So, kind of balances. But, I guess the point is, bad things happen when Bray Wyatt gets in a cage. And at this stage, you need to make Bray Wyatt look strong. You have to repair what you did. I understand they have this constant fear of John Cena looking weak But guess what? You're making John Cena look weaker and more pathetic every week, every time he tries to prove himself as a man. Every time he tries to prove himself as worthy for the title of Brock Lesnar. You know what Brock Lesnar's doing to prove himself? Sweet fuck all. He's sitting at home on his couch with his wife and his kids, doing nothing with the title. Meanwhile, Cena's running around going, oh my god, I can totally beat Brock Lesnar. I'm going to beat his ass. Watch me do this. Watch me do that. It's completely pathetic. It's completely stupid. And it's just like, the more John Cena does, the more pathetic he looks. And it's just like, dude. You know, especially with him threatening to sue Hunter when Hunter threatens to pull the title shot. Actually, facepalmed at that.
Same here.
I'm like, really? Really, you're going to have John Cena... It's like John Cena, Mr. Hustle, Loyalty, Respect, Mr. I'm going to be the stand-up guy. Oh, you're going to take my title shot? I'm going to sue you. What? And I'm not going to sue, you know, and not only will I sue you for everything you have, I'll be the COO of this company, and then when I'm the COO of this company, I'll fire you. Actually, dude, technically in that case, then you need to sue Vince if you want to own the company and name yourself COO. Just, you know, logistically pointing that out. Because while Stephanie owns part of the company, she doesn't own the majority of the company. Just, again, pointing that out. But yeah, Mr. Stand Up is like, I'm going to sue you, and then, you know, once I get control of the company, I'm going to fire you. Wow, dude, that's the right message to send.
Hey, kid, when someone's bullying you, you sue them. Hustle, loyalty, respect, yo.
Right? It's just... And I understand this is not Cena's fault. I acknowledge this is not Cena's fault. This is how they are booking Cena. But it's how Cena's playing this. He just looks desperate and scared and pathetic. And he's trying to be the John Cena that he always is, except Brock Lesnar went in there and beat him so bad... We got to see John Cena in his true form. We got to see John Cena as a human being. And now that we've seen that, it's really hard to believe that he truly is Superman. And he's trying so damn hard to prove that he is. That's what he's really trying to do, is prove that he's the John Cena of old. And he can't do it. Because he goes out there and it's like, last week... He AA's the Wyatt family. Guess what, dude? You AA everybody. They kick out of it. It's not that impressive. Now, if you had AA'd somebody through a table, now we're talking. Because it amps up the violence level. Guess what? To beat you, Brock Lesnar walked out there, suplexed you 16 times, did two F5s and a couple shots to your ribs and some punches. That's it! It! That's all it took for him to do. I think John Cena maybe hit an AA and Brock Lesnar kicked out of it.
Yeah. And then he did the whole creepy sit-up Undertaker style. And laughed.
And continued to beat his ass.
And laughed at John Cena.
And laughed at him. Like, dude, Brock Lesnar laughed at your move. Okay? It's not that impressive. It's also not impressive if you can't get somebody up and over for a German suplex. You can't do it, don't throw it. Just saying. But yeah, it's just, that was my biggest problem with Raw. It's been my biggest problem with Raw for 2 weeks. We will get back to Jericho and Bray in the cage probably later. But my biggest problem with Raw as a whole was the fact that they are continuing to try and make John Cena look like the John Cena that we always knew. And he's been exposed. And he is no longer that John Cena. And I keep asking this question, and so far nobody can give me an answer. Why? What is wrong with John Cena looking weak? What is wrong with people losing faith in him? doesn't that give Cena something to prove? Doesn't that give Cena something to rally against? Doesn't that motivate him to do something? To possibly even change the character? Like, here's the thing, they keep giving Cena these storylines and these opportunities to build the character, to grow the character, to change. And they don't do it. They just don't pull that trigger. It's like you had the perfect setup with the Wyatts. You have the setup with Brock.
You had the setup with The Rock.
The Rock. You keep setting Cena up in these storylines where you can grow and change the character, where you can have him evolve from the stagnant place that he is now. And granted, we have seen a little evolution in John Cena, but not a lot. It's like he's hit that, okay, well, this is going to make me lots of money, so this is where I'm going to stay type of mode. And all that changes is his t-shirt. But he's still the same John Cena that he's always been. And it's like you have him going up against somebody, and I said this last week, and I'll say this again, and I will keep saying it until somebody listens to me. You're having John Cena going up against the guy that retired The Undertaker. Never mind the streak. Retired The Undertaker. Sent him home to his wife in Texas to never be seen again. Okay? That guy.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway. Hi, I'm Brock Lesnar. It's not a reasonable expectation for John Cena to be able to beat Brock Lesnar. Mainly because Brock Lesnar has the legit credibility with him from UFC that he can beat somebody's ass. And beat them to a bloody pulp. We've seen that in the past. We've seen that in his past matches in WWE. We saw that in UFC. So it's perfectly okay in this situation to have John Cena be nervous, to have him be scared, to have him be unsure. And then when the inevitable goes down and Brock Lesnar wins, it's okay to have Cena look weak. It's okay to have him sell the injuries and be limping around and make him up to look like he's got bruises and a black eye and everything else. It's okay to do that with him because it works. It makes Brock look that much more legit by having Cena do that. You hurt Brock Lesnar a lot, well not a lot, but you hurt Brock Lesnar by having Cena walk out and be fine a week later. By having him be the same happy-go-lucky Cena that we always knew. But we can't have Cena look weak. God forbid we have Cena look weak, because, you know, that would make him interesting.
Yeah. So, there's that. So.
Sorry, like 10-minute tirade.
10-minute. Okay.
20.
I've lost it. Anyway. So, that was the high points of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Those were our basic thoughts on Raw, and things Lindsay were saying. We've had the conversation the last 2 days. All about, so I back her up in her statements, and I was basically telling her, John Cena really does need to look weak and give the fans a rallying point to actually fully get behind John Cena.
Oh, one more thing, and then I'm done. I swear to God. Stop jobbing the kids out to Mark Henry and show. Stop it. Just stop it. And if you don't know who the kids are, you do not listen to this show enough. They are Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. Just stop it. Stop jobbing them out. And also, Lana, honey, don't be screwing with Bray's kids. He doesn't like that. Okay? Just pointing that out. He's a little distracted right now, but once he figures out you're screwing with the kids, he'll come for you, honey. And he'll make Rusev wear your heels.
can't follow that.
Just, this is what happens when I watch Raw with my friends. Just putting that out. But Bo, we didn't talk about Bo.
Talk about Bo.
Oh my god, Bo, you cheesy bastard, you.
Yeah.
This actually was a high point of Raw. And I know people didn't like it. I know people kind of hated it. But the fact that you had Bo Dallas walk out and had, he was like, so-and-so bet his entire farm on you winning the match. And this woman, or this guy, this tailor, this barber, or whatever he was, you know, is deporting himself because he's so ashamed that you lost the match. And then the fact that this woman's son, his favorite wrestler, is now Vladimir Putin. It's like, oh my god, Bo. It's like, did Lana, like, just say, here's the Putin picture, enjoy?
Pretty much, yeah. Bo was tremendous. Bo was very cheesy. The guy got deported because he failed a test. Because of Jack
Swagger. That's right. He failed citizenship test. Because
of Jack
Swagger. He's so heartbroken about Swagger's loss.
Yeah, the dude bet his savings and then bet again and then lost his farm. You made a man lose his farm, Jack. How dare you make a man lose his farm? What's he going to do now without his farm, Jack?
We're starting to see the Bo Dallas that was in NXT.
Yes.
We're starting to see more and more of that heel character come out, which is what he's really good at. And I told Rock this, that he's playing this character so well. And as if they let him go full on heel, if they let him do what he was doing in NXT, he will get so much better. Because this character is tuned specifically to be a heel. And I think they tried to make him a face, and it just didn't work. And it's like, just turn Bo heel. Just let him be the condescending asshole that everybody that watched NXT knows he can be. Like, this child can still walk into Full Sail University and get booed out of the building. And he don't even have to say a word.
This is very true.
That's how much heat he can generate at Full Sail. Let him do that on a larger scale, and they will boo him out of the building. I promise you they will. Just let him do it. Let him do his thing, because he is actually way better than what they're letting him be right now. And if they let him do what he knows how to do, he will be over. And we have said that about so many people, but it's true. Just let him do what he knows what to do. Same thing goes for Bray Wyatt. For the love of God, somebody get Bray Wyatt back on track. Reuniting with the kids, have him put the fear of God into him, whatever, but get the Wyatt family back on track as well. Because this jabbing crap is not going to work. And I'm done, I think.
Well, you can get back. We'll get back on track to our original Raw thoughts Monday nights on the Raw Post Show, beginning this Monday night.
Ding. But I'm done talking about Raw. Do you have anything you'd like to add? Sorry, I took over.
No, you're good. Let's quickly, me and you. Super Bowl predictions. What do you got? Who you got? What's your Super Bowl prediction?
Seahawks look mighty strong tonight. And I haven't really watched a lot of preseason. But I have to go with my heart, even though I know they're not going to win, and I'm going to say the Falcons.
Who do they beat?
I don't know. I can't think of anybody.
New England, Denver, Kansas City, Baltimore.
I'm not going to pick who they beat.
Do it. Yes, pick who they beat.
Denver.
There you go. For me, hate the fact that the Patriots are probably going to be good this year. Patriots make it to the Super Bowl and they lose to the 49ers. I surprised you, didn't I?
No.
What, you thought, you didn't think I was going to pick the Eagles?
No.
Okay. So there you go. That was question.
You have no faith in your hometown team.
No, I do. It's called, I don't want to be overconfident, like Cowboys fans getting tattoos saying we're champions.
Oh my god, that's so stupid.
Still the stupidest story ever. Anyway, and that was a shot at the Cowboys, so there you go.
But did anybody say anything? Did anybody make any other predictions?
We had one person pick the Patriots and one person pick Denver. Well, we don't have that many big sports fans, or at least that's all the tweets. So there you go.
Fair enough.
I say we're done now.
Well, if we're done, plug stuff.
Saturday night, midnight, it's at CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Subway and Rob make their picks live on the air for every week, as we do picks again. Pick 'em, as we do for everyone. As if you want to be a part of it, contact me at media@wildtalkradio.com. So we're going to do that live on air. We'll do probably some sort of game. And a blame Rob. Saturday night, midnight-ish, on the Wild Talk Radio Network at CB Radio.
Big blame Rob.
Big blame Rob. At CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com. So cigarette butts and bananas, and he'll tell a story. Well, it's just very amusing about that. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio returns live at 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein, Mason Omega. No words people out of town. No internet issues. Good. Show's back. Live, 10 p.m. Eastern at WTR Sunday at Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday night's Raw Post Show live at 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Right after Monday Night Raw. And if you're listening, maybe some sort of announcement. Tune in. You never know. It's the season premiere of the Raw Post Show right after the season premiere of Monday Night Raw. The Rack Extra returns this week covering Total Divas Season 2, Season 3, Episode 1. Watch Total Divas on E! Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR, @_Rack, and Facebook.com/WTRRack. Subscribe to the show on iTunes. Search for The Rack Radio Show. Wild Talk Radio Network's on iTunes as well. We're on Stitcher as well. Just find us there, Rack Radio Show and Wild Talk Radio Network. But go to RackRadioShow.com, click on the WWEShop.com banner if you're going to buy from WWE Shop. Kicks a little money back to us. It's cool. Awesome. And other fine stuff. Follow me on Twitter @WildTalkRadio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork and check out WTRProductions.com.
You can follow me on Twitter @LinsWard, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view it, my gallery is available at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. Go check that out. Of course, visit RackRadioShow.com, as the man said. And, well, we can't forget our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling action figure needs.
Yeah, Mr. Don and Dash, Matt Goldberg.
Yes. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!